This is episode number 76 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of May 11th, 2009. It's time for me to walk. Coming up on today's show, this week's distractions, gaming news. After the break, we talk about gaming peripherals and whether or not they're worth the space they take up. Follow that up with new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week that'll make you want to throw your controller. Well, maybe. All of this plus a big announcement coming up right now. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 76.
Yo.
My name is Christopher Riccio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello, people.
And Mr. Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
How's it going, guys? Jason, what's up this week? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. A little tired. We're putting in some overtime hours with extra project stuff, but... Namely Street Fighter. No, I'm working on other stuff too, but yeah. My gaming is actually cutting into my sleep schedule, so that's kind of my issue right now.
That's crazy.
So now you're going to bed at 7 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock in the morning, is that right?
Yeah, I went down about 5:30 a.m. last night.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I have no idea how you do that, dude.
I don't either. I've been coming home during lunch and like taking a 20-minute nap just to get me through the day.
Yeah.
That's crazy. See, I can't even do that, and I don't even work till 12 p.m. It's 2 o'clock is staying up, like, really late for me.
Oh, really?
Not really late, but that's, like... Actually, no, 2 o'clock's probably, like, my go-to when I'm trying to go to bed. I usually go into my bed around 1, 1:30, whatever, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't even get motivated to do stuff until, like, 10 o'clock at night, for whatever reason. Like, I'll come home from work, and then I'll chill for, you know, a couple few hours, you know, eat and whatnot, and then, about 10 o'clock, midnight or so. I'll start working on stuff again.
And you're still full of energy for Thursday nights.
Hell yeah. I'm not faking it at all.
How's cool. The beer? Jeff, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. The weather's finally getting pretty nice in these parts. Getting a little bit warm. I might wear shorts tomorrow to work, actually.
Wow.
It's getting that.
You can wear shorts to work? I'm jealous.
We can, yeah. It's like totally casual, so it's pretty awesome.
Totally.
Very cool. T-shirts and shorts, yeah. Other than that, not too much is happening, man. Just kind of same old, same old. Cat's being a pest, but she's still cute, so she can get away with it. Kind of like why I keep Tanya around.
Yep. She's a great hugger, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she loves hugs. Yeah, the two-headed hugs.
I saw that
especially.
Conversation. That was interesting.
She hugs for shit.
Well, yeah, you'll have to teach her. In a couple weeks.
She's not going to have a choice, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to force her.
I got a hug when I was in Canada, man. I don't know why she doesn't want to hug you, Jason.
I don't know what it is.
I don't get it. I think she's intimidated by your
scary
tallness.
Man.
Could it be the fact that I was, like, you know, sloppy drunk the entire time I met her last time? Or
I don't know. It might have something to do with it.
Or that I was groping her boyfriend in bed the next morning? Or?
That's right. Your boyfriend, her boyfriend groped Ricky, so.
Exactly.
All the same.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's funny. All right, well, enough about me. Chris, how are you doing, man?
Not too bad. Mostly same old this week. I did have the opportunity to record an episode of The Goo with Scott and Adam.
Hey.
This on Tuesday. That one, cool. I think it will have been released yesterday, I believe. But yeah, we had a good time. It was fun. We had a top five about top five favorite RPGs, and that was some really good conversation. And the coolest thing about it was that all three of us had lists, and nobody repeated any games on.
Wow,
on
not even lists. A single game. Not just
not a like single no game was repeated on any list,
for
which
real.
Was really cool. So it made for some really cool conversation, and it made for a really long top five as well. So.
Yeah. I can barely name 15 RPGs, like, off the top of my head.
Wow. Yeah, it would be tough. But, we actually had some good good emails in there, too. And I was surprised. One of the emails actually, you know, he was going through his top five, you know, and he goes, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy. And then number one, Legend of Gaia. I'm like,
what?
No, really? What? What? So, but you know, I could appreciate that because Legend of Gaia was a totally unique game, and it was a lot of fun. So,
don't spoil it for everyone, man. Now they don't even have to listen to the show. Scott's like steaming right now; he's pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because you still don't have the host's top five. That's the
true.
Most important.
I know what yours is,
and they can find that on VG Evo, right? Or
yes, or gamersonlyolder.com.
That's it. Gamers Only Live.
Yeah, and it was episode 28, I believe. Yes, 28. Yeah, so that was pretty much my week. It was fun.
Good shit.
Something else that happened this week, though, that kind of involves all of us.
Did I miss something?
This actually happened. This is something that I had in the works before the last show aired, or before the last show was recorded. And things finally came through Friday morning, right after we recorded the show. But some of you may know already because we posted it on the website. We posted it on VG Evo. But Interactive Distractions has teamed up with Good Old Games.
Hell yeah.
At GOG.com. And we have something pretty cool planned. We're going to start doing a monthly, basically, Good Old Game review. We haven't decided what the exact name was. The original thought was Good Old Distraction. So that one's out there, and we have a couple other names out there that are floating around.
I want to say that I really liked Repeat's name of Distractions Only Older, but then, of course, there's the whole issue with Gamers Only Older, speaking of. So I was like, that, I actually thought that was really clever. I'm like, that's actually a pretty good name.
That is, actually. Yeah, it's too bad Scott has all of his sayings trademarked and stuff, though.
Exactly. TM after everything, so.
Yep.
Okay. I can't even say, you know.
Right. Let's not talk about it, lest we get litigated.
I don't want to get a lawsuit on my hands, so anyway. Go
exactly.
Ahead,
exactly. He trademarks all of his shit, especially Sweet Action.
Anyway, back to GOG.com, because this is exciting shit.
Yeah, we got so what we're doing is every month, GOG.com or GOG.com is going to pick a game for us to play from their catalog, and we're going to play it for the month. And at the end of the month, we're going to review the game. Well, the cool part about it is that every week of the month, we're going to have codes for the game that we're playing to give away to you guys. So to get your hands on one of those codes, it's going to be a random drawing, and all you have to do is send an email to email at interactivedistractions.com. Let us know that you are interested in the game that we are playing that month, and we will pick a name, and that person will win the game. And you enter once, and you're entered in for the entire month. So you don't have to send four emails, one each week. Just one email, that'll do.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but if multiple emails will be taken out.
Multiple emails will disqualify the hell out of you. No, it won't. You'll still just get one entry. You're fired.
But yeah, surprisingly enough, we got 8 entries, even though we haven't actually announced this on the show. So cool. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, before you want to explain what this is, Scott, like what the site is all about. I called you Scott. I meant Chris. Sorry, I think it's Monday.
Actually, I don't think I'm the best qualified to give that explanation, so I think we should pull someone on to do that for us.
Excellent idea.
Right. Sounds good.
So, on the line with us right now, we have Tom Ole. Did I say that right?
Yeah, sure, that works.
Yeah. Right. And I'm
that's the more Spanishization of it.
Spanishization. I'm gonna try and go from memory what you actually do at Gamer... Good Old Games, but you are the vice president of marketing for the UK and North America, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, I kind of oversee all the marketing activities for basically the English speaking world, I guess.
All right, cool. Well, why don't you give us a little information about Good Old Games and a little bit of information about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, I mean, Good Old Games was launched sometime last year, and basically our whole goal is to kind of bring back all these classic PC games, release them totally DRM free, cheap, pack in some value with some like wallpapers and soundtracks and stuff like that. And, you know, that's basically it. Basically trying to revive a lot of classic franchises and get these games in front of people who may not have played them before.
Yeah, and awesome idea it is, because even the first game that you guys chose for us, which is Beyond Good and Evil, I've never played it. So, you know, definitely got me back in front of it, and I started playing it, and I'm loving the hell out of it right now. So I think what you guys are doing are great, and we've mentioned you guys on the show before we even teamed up with you. So, yeah, we're big fans of you.
Yeah, definitely. And something that we do and our listeners do is we have something called a backlog. We have like a backlog in the segment or forum or whatever where, you know, we have a list of games that we've just never gotten a chance to play, but we always wanted to. And I know Beyond Good and Evil is on a number of people's lists. So this is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good thing is as we sign new deals, you know, there's a lot of games that you might not even thought of. You know, it's stuff that back in the day, maybe you heard about it, you know, heard about other people playing it, and then it pops up on the site and you go, oh man, I should have played that. And it's only $6. So,
yeah,
you know, what's definitely.
A big, right. Right. And then with all the value add that you guys do, like you said, I mean, Beyond Good and Evil comes with the soundtrack. I think that is just, it's just awesome that you guys do that.
Yeah. And part of that is kind of our approach to, I guess, combating piracy with the no DRM thing.
Good idea.
Is just trying to reward the people that actually do pay for the games instead of trying to punish the people that don't. Right. And so,
right.
And putting the added value content in there for people that actually pay for it, I think helps. Obviously somebody could copy that, but, our community is pretty good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've actually been frequenting the community a lot lately, and I've noticed that you guys do a ton of stuff for your community. I see like giveaways. It's like every other thread is you guys giving away a game.
Yeah, I kind of worry that we're not going to be making any money because people are just going to be sitting around going, man, I'm just going to wait for another giveaway or for the next promo or whatever. But, you know, overall people are pretty good about it, but we figure that, you know, actually talking to our community, and right now, I mean, we've got a, it's a big community, but everybody's kind of pretty cordial and pretty nice, and you can talk and have good discussions. So, you know, we try and do as much to give back.
That's really cool. Yeah. Cause I'm one of those people who's like, oh, I'll just wait for the, you know, try and get a free one or something. But then I get super hyped about the game and I'm like, oh, I didn't win it. Well, it's only $6. What the hell?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's cheap enough where you don't feel too bad. You know,
yeah.
if these games were $50, you'd be probably sitting there going, you know, maybe I'll wait for another deal or whatever and just pick those up. But,
right, right. Yeah. But when you get down to the $10 zone, it's like I see myself every once in a while, I'll look at stuff and I'll be like, well, I'm kind of interested in this game, but you know, it's $10 and whatever. And then I have to go back and think about it for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. I could go and see a movie and it would probably cost me $11 and that only lasts like 2 hours. You know, I can get this game for $10. I get the soundtrack. I get these wallpapers.
Yeah.
You know, I get all this value add included as well. And
for sure.
Yeah, it's just a great deal. So,
yeah, I mean, that was the deal with like our Fallout promo a couple weeks ago. Where
that
was like
awesome that you guys did that.
Fallout 1, 2, and Tactics for like $15. I mean,
yeah,
that's
awesome.
A lot of gaming. So,
yeah, absolutely. Cool. Cool. Yeah, I was actually going to say about the when we were talking about the community that I noticed that it's pretty large, but it's also very close knit. Cause I saw a topic on there about people talking about getting an in-person get together for 2010 or something. I think the guy was over in Europe that he was doing. And I was like, wow, it's cool that, you know, the community is that close knit for something like this.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, considering we kind of just launched in like October last year sort of thing. Right. I mean, it's been 7 months and I think, you know, I don't know what it is exactly, but our community does feel pretty close. I don't know. I'd be amazed if people get together in Europe and do some sort of big GOG get together. I mean, that'd be cool, but,
yeah.
Certainly not something we expected at this point already.
Cool. Well, you guys are, you know, you still have the beta listed up on the site. Is it, are you guys planned on being out of beta this year or how is that working?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of hip to be in beta. Google
exactly.
Was in beta for a while. And Firefox has been in beta for a long time. I mean,
Gmail's been beta for like 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. We might just ride it for a while, but I don't know. I mean, I think basically what we want to do is get up to a point where we feel confident in both like the site functionality and the games catalog so that, you know, we can have something where we can feel confident that it's a final product and that people are not going to have any problems or you know, generally going to have a good experience. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. I mean, now we're over 100 games and things are going pretty well, but we've got a lot of other kind of things that we want to add to the site to make things better, like user profiles and stuff like that. And once all that's in, then we'll think about pulling it out of beta.
Cool. Well, I mean, as it is right now, the site is extremely slick. I'm really impressed with it. Very clean, very functional. So it's cool that you're going to add some like social interaction and stuff too. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that even when I first saw the site before it was launched, I think one of the big focuses was on trying to make things easy. And that's basically, you know, why we went with the kind of download only route and just download
Good.
Executable files and go. It's just really easy to do. You know, you can be in and out of the site in like 3 clicks and have bought something. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Indeed. It's it's definitely very easy to use, and I like the shelf that you guys have set up where all your games show up on your shelf and you click on them and you can decide if you want to download the game or some of the extras and stuff like that. It's like Jason said, it's all very clean and very intuitive to use.
Yeah, I like the shelf a lot, actually. I don't know if the design guys are still doing it, but we were talking about having some different kind of functionality added to the shelf. You know, pick your wood colors and stuff like that to make it really exciting. Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, we had a April Fool's thing or whatever where we talked about our shelf 2.0 and get cobwebs on it if you haven't used them in a while.
Nice.
Games get dusty. And people took it seriously and really liked it. So I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what the evolution of the game shelf will be?
Nice. About how many games do you guys think that you'll have out this year? I mean, do you have an estimate of you know, how much you're adding each week or each month or what?
Yeah, I mean, essentially we're trying to stick to at least one or two games every week. So I guess, you know, you extrapolate that and my math's not working too well on a Saturday, but you know, I assume we'll probably be upwards of 160, 170 games, toward the later half of the year. And it really depends on the deals we sign, right? I mean, if we get a deal with a publisher that has a ton of great games, you know, maybe one publisher comes on and gives us 20 games.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It kind of changes the whole situation.
Would you release them all at the same time or just kind of stagger them out after a while?
No, we generally stagger them. I mean, part of the work that, you know, once we have a deal signed, we can actually really get to work on making sure that the games work with Vista and XP. So that's kind of a process too. And some of the games, we can get them working like right away, while other games will take a few weeks or whatever for our programming team to get them to work properly. We always take that into account. And we also don't want to get into a position where we kind of release all the games and then for a few weeks we have nothing else coming up.
Yeah, right. And that's another big draw, I think, to Good Old Games is that, you know, I've got the Fallout collection, right? But it's all DOS-based stuff, and it will not work on my XP or my Vista system. So you guys have actually gone through and retooled it and, you know, made it work on these newer systems, which is great.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that's kind of one of the gripes about PC gaming in general is that, you know, people try and get into it and maybe their system doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where the kind of Games for Windows initiative came out. But for us, it's again, just trying to make everything as easy as possible. If you download the game, you can download it on your laptop or, you know, your home PC. It can usually be older PCs too with the types of games that we have, and then they work. Right, so it might be a good way for people to kind of get into PC gaming in general, mm-hmm. Without dropping $60 on whatever's new.
Cool. Yeah, I was that was another thing about how good the community is, because when I first started playing Beyond Good and Evil for this, you know, for our first game for this new segment, I was having some graphical glitches, and I, you know, I didn't know what it was, and you know, everybody's system's different, right? So I was going on and I looked in the community, and you guys have a separate forum set up for each basically series that you guys release. So I just went to the Beyond Good and Evil forum and checked it out, and they, you know, someone had the same problem I did, and you know, everybody, I mean, there were like three or four different suggestions on how to fix it, and it turned out it had something to do with, it was an NVIDIA specific thing with my video card. So I just went in and changed a few settings, like they said, and worked right away. So, you know, even the things that you guys can't catch, because there's so many different combinations of systems out there, the community does help out and do that kind of thing.
Yeah, and somehow they're all kind of motivated to do that. You know, everybody's pretty excited to help out others. You know, we do have like a rep system in place so that if you help people, you get, you know, points or whatever, and we'll look to expand that kind of system. But I think it's great. I mean, it saves us on support costs, and fact is, you know, the community probably has better resources and better experience with the specific issues than we would.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Those computer geeks have no life and
yeah,
all the time in the world. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have any other questions for Tom before we let him get out of here?
Nothing yet.
No,
I'm gonna amass a list of games that I want to see. But
yeah, we have one of those too. We have a wish list on the site.
Yeah, you guys have a wish list. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty extensive.
The only question I was gonna ask is, do you have any? Are you having problems with like licensing or something like that? Or is there any companies or devs that won't give you permission to put their games up there?
Especially with it being like DRM free.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that's obviously kind of still the biggest hurdle for us is getting people over that DRM-free kind of issue, and the, you know, the relatively low cost on these games. You know, you wouldn't see too many people sell on their official sites sell a game for $6. Right. So for them to take a royalty cut off of that, and then the DRM things are definitely tough. But you know, as we get more people on the site, as other companies, especially big publishers like Ubisoft, come on board, it should help us to be able to approach the bigger publishers, or anybody who's really concerned with DRM, and convince them that it's not a problem. In fact, as we haven't seen any of our games, of our versions of games, pop up on torrent sites.
Wow.
That's good.
So that's pretty good.
That's cool. That's just because, you know, again, it's, we feel our community is a little beyond that. They'd just rather pay for it. You know, these people, that's why we kind of brought this back, is because people want to pay for these games. They want to play the games. But when they don't have any options to do that, that's when they have to resort to piracy. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Tom, is there anything else you want to mention before you go?
No, I think that's pretty much it. So
awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And thank you and Good Old Games for teaming up with us and letting us do this good old distraction segment that we're going to start doing. I have a feeling that a lot of the listeners are going to like it. And, you know, even without having an actual announcement on the show, we got quite a few emails for the first week of the first giveaway this week. So
right on. Yeah, no, we're happy to do it. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll let you go. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Cool. Well, thanks once again to Tom for joining us, and thanks to Good Old Games for you know, helping us out with this this new segment. I think it's pretty cool that they're doing it.
Very excited.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, I'm really interested. I know that you've already played quite a bit of Beyond Good and Evil, but I know that your system is pretty old. I'd really be interested to see how well it runs. Yeah.
All right, I can do that then.
Cool.
I'll let you know.
Awesome.
Before I get my new computer of awesomeness. Hopefully soon.
All right, cool. Well, let's jump back in. Boing. Jason.
Yo.
What is distracting you this week?
Anyone care to guess?
I'm going to guess Phantasy Star Portable.
Oh. No.
Oh, wait, no, that's mine.
No, you Sorry. Suck, Crash Jeff. Any guesses?
Crash Bandicoot.
No, you suck too. No, the correct answer is, of course, the Street Fighter 4. Still playing the hell out of that, but I think I mentioned that earlier.
We should start beeping that out.
What? Neither is that a swear word now?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't let me do it for Phantasy Star when Chris was playing that all the time.
We can't even talk about it in the shoutbox anymore at VG. About
oh, that's true.
Like,
yes,
because the Street Fighter, you're like, oh, you okay?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You can't. Why not?
No, we can't. Like we were talking about today, and people were like, "Hey, we need a separate shoutbox for people who can talk about their fighting games."
Right. That's a good idea. Was it people who don't like fighting games complaining about it or something?
Of course.
Yeah, it's funny though because I've actually been thinking it's like we have totally taken over the shoutbox now because every morning when I come in, as soon as I say hello, all of a sudden it's all about Scrubsport.
Yeah, it's Tom from Amplified Gamers. It's funny we have this like kind of running joke that's been going on the last like couple days is every time if neither of us are talking, one of us goes in there and just like basically just says Street Fighter and then it sparks up discussion. And you can just tell some people get pissed like oh fuck like anyone up for Killzone so anyway this week at match you gotta try this out and, the guy goes in with this move you gotta like, Killzone anyone
I started a match the password is this
yeah.
Poor guys
yeah everyone hates us
awesome. Yeah I think so but yeah Street Fighter 4 of course but I have played a couple other games a little bit Resident Evil 5
I'm back on that.
Actually, I'm done with that because I beat it.
Oh my god!
I beat the fucking
game.
You
beat the fucking
game. You beat
the game. Well, it was on Super the fucking Jason. Hammer and Hero.
Was it Uncharted? Maybe.
Hammer and Hero was the last game I beat. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice.
But the last time that's actually what kept me up so late last night was trying to beat the end boss. And can I just say that mycheats.com are lying motherfuckers. Oh my god.
Why?
Because I got to the end boss, you know, and I died a couple times and I'm like, screw this. It's like 4 a.m. I don't. No spoilers. But
no spoilers.
No spoilers. But I'm like, I don't want to stay up all night doing this. Let me just get a quick, you know, tutorial on how to do it. Whatever. Okay. So I follow exactly what they said to a T, but it's just not working. And like 18 deaths later,
no, geez.
Still not working. So I'm like, screw this. I'm going to GameFAQs. And yeah, GameFAQs told me the correct thing to do.
The correct way to do it.
And then it was like over in like 5 minutes. And I'm like, well, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, fuck it, my cheese.
As far as like fire rocket at boss's face. Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. No, it was a little convoluted. Like I seriously, I don't think I would have gotten it by myself. Like, it just didn't make sense what you were supposed to do. But that's spoiler shit. And after you beat the game, you're treated to a pretty quick cinematic and, quite frankly, a little boring and cheesy. But, you know, that's Capcom for you.
Did you get to see Shadow naked?
Yeah.
Man, if only, because I'd really be raving about that game. I'd take it to a pro level at that point. But no, after you beat the game, you unlock Mercenaries mode, which I'm going to try out tonight. You also unlock a couple costumes, and depending on which level you beat it on, like, you know, some additional filters. So there is some replay value to it. So it's giving me reason to go back into the game and find some more of the emblems and get some more gold so I can unlock, like, infinite ammo with other guns and, mm-hmm. and stuff. So
Yeah.
So
like the typical, pardon me, Resident Evil replay value stuff that seems to be. From, like, the second one on, like, unlimited ammo, unlock the weapons, power up the weapons.
Well, it's even more than just that normal stuff. In some of the original games, you know, you would just get the rocket launcher, you know, unlimited rockets with that. Yeah. But that was it, you know. I mean, maybe a couple other costumes here and there, but there's tons of shit that you can do, so.
Yeah. Cool. I didn't play 4, but I know that, they have a lot of specific things that you can upgrade in each of the weapons. And apparently from what I heard from John is that if you upgrade a weapon completely, that's when you get your unlimited ammo after you beat the game.
Well, and even after that, you have to have enough points to unlock that specific unlimited ammo.
Oh, okay.
So they really make you grind it out, which is kind of a pain in the ass. But to me, the game is fun. So
yeah.
So after I beat it, I actually burned through like the first chapter just real quick, just you know, skipping all the cutscenes and stuff, and just blowing the shit away with the shotgun. It was fun.
Nice.
What else did I play? Oh, okay, guys, this is big. Infamous demo.
Oh shit!
So fucking jealous.
It is
no.
So
I've downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, man.
I'm so blown away by that. Like I did.
Really?
It's a rare treat to actually just like, you know, immediately fall in love with a game, especially for me because I'm real picky about stuff. But yeah. I mean, the minute that you know I started actually jumping around flying. And flying through the air and gliding and grabbing onto stuff. I mean, it was completely open world, you know, or at least it felt like it. But you could, you know, jump on anything, climb up anything, shoot anything, blow shit up. It was a really, really cool experience. And
nice.
I mean, the graphics.
Did you get into like any of the actual point to the demo, or did you just fuck around?
They gave you a couple objectives, like you know, they kind of drop you just right into the the top of a building, and then you know, you've got like a little codec type thing where you're talking to you know your wing woman, I guess. You know, she kind of you know gives you tips and directs you on where to go and whatnot. But you know, she's like, you got to take out these bad guys called Reapers. You know. Just right over there. They're about a block away. They're holding some people hostage in this, you know, this train. So you've got to go beat them up. And then you've actually got to commandeer the train and get it to, like, safety, as it were.
Hmm.
Well, you don't actually go inside the train. You actually sit up on top of the train. And, I mean, you can power the train.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty sweet.
It is very cool. Combat is an awful lot of fun. The AI on the enemies, that was really impressive too, because they're like actually running around ducking for cover. I was really surprised by that, because I'm used to like, you know, Crackdown kind of stuff where everything's just...
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like just...
No.
Yeah, where they just like sit there and try and shoot you and they are unsuccessful and you just blast the shit out of them.
No, actually, yeah, they were running around there. God, I haven't played it too much, but I'm really, really in love with the game and I don't want to go too in-depth, but yeah. Have to try
it. Two questions.
Go for it.
One, does it have the verticality of Crackdown?
Not so much that I've seen as of yet. Like I was able to climb up on, you know, a really tall like crane or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But any building, it seems like you can climb up, but they're not very high from what I've seen so far, just in the demo. But
cool.
But yeah, you can jump right off that crane, and then you can actually, you know, use your glide power to just kind of, you know, soar around, and it's fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Second question is like the whole parkour thing. Like you watch trailers and stuff. It looks really smooth and looks like easy to do, but a lot of games try to do that and it's not that easy to do. Is it easy to like jump on the rails?
Almost too easy. That was something I was going to bring up too, is the control. It was rather intuitive, you know, and, you know, I'd jump in one direction. You know what? He's like fucking Spider-Man. He'll cling on to pretty much anything, you know, that's in front of him. Cool. But that's also kind of a hindrance too. You know, like, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, just jump, you know, down to one specific area, but then, you know, he'll actually kind of ride the wall a little bit. He'll grab onto a ledge, you know, down below or something like that. So, but I think that'll just take some getting used to.
Yeah.
Cool. Otherwise, it's very fluid.
Cool. Awesome.
Go try it.
Can't wait to check that out.
Yes.
Yeah. So in a few weeks, isn't it? End of the month? Like the 19th? Or, no, 20th?
Yeah, it's 20, it's 29th? This month. It's like 20-something. Cool. I'll look it up.
Do it.
But, nice. Jason.
Yeah.
So, where do you stand with Infamous right now? I mean, because I know that, like, before, you were just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it was like that or Prototype. They both kind of seemed somewhat similar to me, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if they're going to Assassin's Creed on me or some shit. I figured I was going to Gamefly it and whatnot, but, you know, smart move releasing this demo because it wowed me, and I'm really thinking day one.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. Wow.
Nice.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty impressive.
Huge endorsement.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. What else you got?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Hey. Well, that's okay, man. You played the Infamous demo. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to playing it. As I said, I downloaded it and installed it already, and I'm itching, man. All right, cool. Jeff.
What do I play? You guys, you sitting down for this? You guys having a seat?
Yeah, I'm good.
You have your drink?
Hold on.
Oh, no, I need a drink. Should I get a drink quick? Let's just do it. Let's just go ahead.
All right, let's go ahead with it.
Yeah.
All right, I turned on my Wii.
Oh fuck!
What?
How did?
Yeah.
You own a Wii?
How did you? Did you have to like look up a guide or something? Don't check my cheats. But
I was
like, I don't even know how to turn mine on. Granted, mine's broken, but
I did. I was actually, the cat was actually fiddling around. This is actually a true story. The cat was sitting there thinking of what to play, and my cat was messing around on the table.
Oh my god!
And then she jumped and she's looking at something, and I realized she's looking at like the wrist strap for the Wiimote. And she pulls out the remote control. I'm like, okay, this is a sign. So I'm like, you know what? May as well dust this bitch off and turn her on. And I was turned on, but I started browsing the virtual console. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of stuff in here I've never played before. So I started downloading. So I downloaded, Punch Out for the NES, which of course I played. Super Punch Out.
Ooh, yes.
For the Super Nintendo. And also Super Metroid, which, believe it or not, I have never actually played. I've seen
no
it.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I actually started playing that for a bit, and I'm kind of pissed I didn't play that back.
Yeah,
in the day,
dude, that game's awesome.
It seemed pretty damn cool.
Hey, do you have the classic controller too?
Yes, I do.
Good,
yeah.
good. Okay,
good. Yeah, definitely play that.
Hooked that in, was playing it for a bit. I know it's really based on like backtracking stuff, which I usually don't like, but it seemed to do it in kind of cool ways. I didn't play it for too much, maybe like an hour or so. But I thought it was pretty damn cool for a Super Nintendo game. I was like, wow, this is a my first reaction was, this is where they call Castlevania's Metroidvania, because of course I played Castlevania 6 the night before I played this, so it wasn't
right.
Really, you know. But I like it. I'm hoping I can find time to play through the whole game. I've been told that it doesn't really take too long to complete, really.
No, it doesn't.
Like maybe, I don't know, more than a few hours, but not too much. Played Punch-Out quite a bit. I love that fucking game.
Oh,
man.
Me too, brother.
Even though it's more of like a puzzle game than like a... Well, I guess, yeah, kind of like a strategy puzzle, because really, once you figure out how to beat the guy, it's done.
Right.
Like, you can't lose. But it's just so addicting, and even the NES one holds up to this day, even though the graphics aren't the greatest. I'm like, this is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there like, yeah, eat it, Glass Joe, eat it. Oh, here comes a Super Punch, and boom, you're done.
You know? Bring on Don Flamenco.
Exactly. So, who looks exactly like one of my friend's dads.
nice.
So, are you going
to get Punch-Out later this month when it comes out?
I think I am going to get Punch-Out later this month. It's one of those games that totally leaves my radar unless I'm reminded of it. It's like, oh yeah, Punch-Out, that's right, I got to get that. And I will. I'm totally not going to do the whole Wiimote motion control shit with
no,
it.
No, fuck that shit, dude.
Yeah, they keep it. Like, I played a little bit of Super Punch-Out, and I did enjoy it. I was like, okay, it is kind of fun, but it didn't have the same... I don't know. It didn't grab me the way Punch-Out did, I guess. It just seemed too... Well, it's definitely not complex, that's for sure. Just the character... I don't know. I didn't play it too long. I just couldn't really get into it, but I only played like the first two fights you do, and that's about it. But the new one looks really good. I'm probably going to pick that up.
By the way, donate a Wii to the Jason cause is still in effect, people.
Still in effect.
Let me know.
Cool.
Cool.
What else I'm playing? Oh, more Chronicles of Riddick. Still cool. Playing the Dark Athena. I'm still liking it. It's still pulling me away from the Street Fighters. Wow. That's pretty good.
Can I ask what week it is? Is this like week 4 that you're playing?
This is week... When did that game come out?
It's 3 or 4. It's one of the...
It's week 3 or 4. Okay, I'm not going hardcore at it. I'm not like sitting there like, okay, I'm going to go like 4 hours or 3 hours at a time. I'm going like 1 hour here, 1 hour there. But unlike other games like Halo Wars and stuff where I literally played it for about a week or... literally like a week and that's it. This is... Yeah, I want to beat it just to continue on the story and see what's going on.
Cool.
I picked up a game that I never thought I was going to pick up because I figured it was just another crappy movie to game, like marketing bullshit, licensing crap. But I picked up X-Men Origins Wolverine.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, I like this game quite
really?
A bit. Yeah, it's actually ripped me from Street Fighter to the points where I'm actually playing Street Fighter. And I said, you know what? I feel like playing Wolverine now. And I go and play Wolverine for a bit. And, I'm seeing the reviews everywhere, and what got me to buy the game was simply the demo. I read the reviews, and they're kind of like, meh. And then I played the demo. I was like, this is good. It is a God of War ripoff, but it is a competent God of War ripoff.
Okay.
Like, it does it really well, and it's actually gory as fuck, which is surprising that it's an X-Men license, and it's gorier, mostly a little bit gorier than maybe even a God of War game. You're tearing people apart, slashing limbs, slashing their heads off, like repeatedly stabbing them in the gut. Like the opening sequence has Wolverine like stabbing someone in the gut over and over again. You see his blood flying everywhere, and he stabs a guy through a wall through the guy's head. It's pretty crazy. But
damn.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's got a little bit of like the graphics are really kind of they're really good in parts and kind of crappy in others. Like the last level I played is kind of like a wintry level. It doesn't look that great, and it is repetitive, but all those games are kind of repetitive. I guess what sets games like God of War apart from it is that they split up the gameplay where you're actually like riding a griffin or, you know, on like a giant titan or something like that. It kind of give you different things to do here and there where this really doesn't. You're literally doing this. And every boss character that I fought so far, it's the same thing to beat them like all the time. You jump on their back, slash away, slash away, slash away, slash away. Jump on their back, slash away, slash away. Hmm. Yeah, which is kind of freaking annoying. But to me, this did what... This does to Wolverine what Spider-Man 2 did for Spider-Man. Like, it wasn't a great game, but it made you feel like you were that character. Like, the swing of Spider-Man was so fluid. And, cool. Like, this is like, really cool. And this is like Wolverine. You're slashing people like to pieces.
Disemboweling people.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it has some really cool effects. Like, your character takes damage in real time. So if you're getting shot with a gun, you see the bullet holes in you, and they actually heal in real time, which is really cool.
That's neat.
So, like,
that's
you
cool.
can be standing next to a canister. It'll blow up. And you'll see half of Wolverine's body is gone. All you see is like a adamantium skeleton with like flesh in it and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Like on the outside. And then if you just sit there and watch it, it slowly closes up. And like, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, because it's like regenerating. It's pretty nuts.
Cool.
It's got
I might have to try out this demo.
Try out the demo, dude. If you like God of War, anyone who likes God of War, it is good. I don't agree with the sixes and under the game is getting, but the sevens to about maybe an eight. I'm pretty far into it. Like, I've played, I want to say about 5 hours of the game, 4 or 5 hours, and it's long. Apparently, it's like 10 hours long. And I will admit, though, at this point, it's at the point where I'm like, okay, it is kind of getting repetitive. I want something kind of new, kind of gameplay. But at the same time, you just pounce on your next guy from like 80 yards away, and you're like, yeah, that's right, I'm Wolverine, bitch, tearing your shit up.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Yeah,
I'll definitely have to check it out then, because, I mean, I friggin' bought Viking and Conan because they were God of War clones.
It's way better than Conan. Better than Conan.
Yeah,
it's,
Conan was kind of ass.
The game was actually in development a year before the movie was even announced, and then I guess Activision probably went to Raven and was like, hey, listen, there's a movie coming up. We're going to have the rights to it, so we're just going to tie in your game with the movie. So I think kind of put them in a spot where they didn't quite want to be, but... That's why it was probably all gory and stuff, and it kind of separates itself from the movie. So it's not really a movie to video game. But
have you seen the movie? Because I don't know if that's gory.
I have
gory
not
or
seen the movie yet, no. I have not yet.
Okay.
But it definitely has more polish than the usual licensed games, for sure. Like, cool. All the criticisms regarding like story, pacing, stuff like that, I think are all valid. But it's a solid game. Like, it doesn't feel floaty. It doesn't feel like any of the attacks or combat is kind of like not tacked on, but you know how some action games where you just kind of feel like you're hitting buttons and you're just flying around, it actually feels like you aim in a direction of the character, you go and you'll attack that character, and it's really tight, and the combos are pretty sweet and nice, and so far I'm liking it. We'll see what happens next week, but yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it, man.
Well, all right.
Yeah, what about you, Chris? What you been playing?
Well, I have a lot of stuff on my list of games, but it's all old stuff mostly. You know, I played quite a bit of Rock Band this week. I just decided that I wanted to play some drums, so I booted up a few times and had some fun with it. Some more Phantasy Star Portable.
I can't hear you,
grinding away, having fun with that. Street Fighter 4, of course. Retro Game Challenge. I actually finished all the challenges for all of the games. And nice. After you do that, there's like the final challenge, and it's like, beat every game. I'm like, fuck.
I just did that.
So, that's not really the challenge. The challenge is like, see every ending. So, you know, you can go back and check out the cheat codes, and you could do like stage select shit and stuff like that. So, it won't be that bad, but I just got to go get around to doing it. Let's see. I play some more Infinite Undiscovery. Oh, fuck. This game has already pissed me off. So you start off and yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen like the intro and shit like that online, but you start off and your main character starts in the intro in prison, and you get out and you break out of the prison.
That's never happened before in an RPG. Ever.
I know, right?
Never.
Oh,
and then, so you leave the prison and you go out into this wooded area, and you know, it's dark, so you can't see anything, and you go through the wooded area. And I made it to the end, and here's the thing. I was getting used to like the way the game plays and everything, so there were a couple times where there was one time where it's like they send these three wolves after you, and all three wolves ganged up on my partner all at once, and I didn't get to her in time, so she died.
Uh-huh.
And your partner dies and it's game over. So, you know, I start back up from the save point again, and I gotta go through the woods again. And I get to the end, and there's this cutscene at the end of the woods. And my 360 locks up on me.
What?
No.
Before I can get to a save point. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. It's like the second or third time I've gone through it. And I get that overheat, double that, like the two red lights.
Really?
And after that, I was just like, I'm done with this for today. I'll come back to it later.
It's overheating. Hey, did you get fans in your entertainment center yet?
Not yet. I'm still working on that. It's I actually have the system pointing outward now.
Okay.
I've actually had it that way for quite some time, and it usually does fine. And that was the first time it's locked up since it's been in that position. So,
I was going to mention something I forgot about.
What?
But it had to do with the 360. Oh, my Street Fighter 4 disc.
Oh fuck!
Oh, wasn't there something wrong with it?
Yeah, there's something very, very wrong with it. Like I came in from outside, and like I was waiting for like my next match or whatever, and I heard it, and I came running inside, and I bumped the table.
The
chair was like under the desk, and anyway. So the 360, which was vertical, was all of a sudden weeble wobbling, and I went to go grab it, and actually knocked it over, and the thing just like turned off. Like it made it so much worse. I should have just let it fall. But yeah, I took the Street Fighter 4 disc out, and there was this huge, just deep gouge in it, and it wouldn't read anymore.
No.
So I chalked it up as a loss. Actually, you know what I did is I checked out YouTube, and I'm like, how to fix 360 disc, and everyone's like, oh, just rub toothpaste all over it, make sure that it's non-gritty.
Yeah.
Non-gel, just make sure that it's plain shit. So yeah, the people on there, they're taking like a nice like, you know, napkin or whatever, or paper towel or whatever, something very soft, and they're rubbing toothpaste on it, right? Well, that didn't happen with mine. I got several scratches for all the little circles that I did.
Oh, Jesus.
Rubbing, so yeah. I mean, it was comical.
Whitening toothpaste?
What's that?
Did you use whitening toothpaste?
I'm not sure if I did or not, but I mean,
that would do flavor it. Crystals.
Flavor crystals.
I used fruity pebbles, you know. But no, I thought it was pretty much done. But I actually we were going to go out and buy a new copy the next day, but I brought it with just in case. I'm like, actually, it was my wife that suggested it, Lisa. She's like, there's that new Play and Trade that just opened up, and this is going to sound like a plug, but these guys saved my fucking life. Well, they saved me about $50, but so for like $10, it was $8. They took the disc, and after laughing at it, you know, saying this is the worst thing I've ever seen, they put it into like their $3,000 or $4,000 machine, like 8 spins later, and the thing works like a charm now. It's like
really,
it looks
but you,
like
can
a
still,
brand
you can still see the scratches everywhere.
Nope, though? It looks brand new.
Really?
I'm not kidding. They use some kind
of crazy machine. Is this?
It's like I said, it's like a super expensive machine. It's not a buffer or anything like that. It's like a wet.
Yeah.
I don't know. They kind of explained it, but I didn't get it. But it does magic.
It was $8. That is awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So yeah, I couldn't even see that deep gouge anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn! Did you
so
like,
$8
swap the disc?
And you know, you saved yourself $48-something, $50.
Exactly, yeah. Give it to me. That's thank you, awesome, Play and dude. Trade.
Yeah, cool. No kidding. Awesome.
And thanks for that check, by the way.
We appreciate
just
it.
Just kidding.
You paid our hosting fees for the year. last and definitely not least is our good old distraction of the month. I've been playing a lot of Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah.
And shit, I am like angry with it's, myself for not playing this it. Game before. I'm like I don't understand how I missed this because it's very Zelda-like and I love that type of game. Mm-hmm. And you know I'm not too
characters
far into it.
Awesome.
I'm about 2.5 hours. I'm about to go to the factory, Jeff. I don't know if you remember.
Yep.
Okay. So that's about where I am. I'm not too far into it, but I mean the combat is fun, even though it's like super simple. And as much as I thought I would hate having to take pictures of everything, I actually find myself breaking out the camera a lot. It's like, oh, I don't have that one. And I'll be like, snap. And, you know, it's kind of
cool.
You
make that sound too? Because that was cool.
I make that sound when I do it as well. And then I get super excited when I get a pearl out of it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And
don't blow your load. Don't blow your load.
What's that?
We got a review to do.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to, but it's pretty cool.
That's
I'm
great.
Enjoying the
yeah.
hell out of it. So, yeah, definitely. If you guys are interested, go out there and get it. It's freaking awesome.
Or if you're looking, just wait and send in a request for a COG game of the month, and
that's
you might
right.
get it for free.
No, that's you're right. not going to win. You never win anything. Go out and just buy it.
Just go buy it.
You get
it comes
the,
with the soundtrack
yeah,
and everything.
Soundtrack.
Free isn't good.
Ah, cool. But yeah, that's my week. That's my week.
Cool.
So now, I guess we should do our month in review. I believe.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
it's
it should
be a short
it should
one.
Should be
though,
a pretty not, short one, I think. Right?
Yeah, not too much stuff really came out last month that we all really got into. So
yeah.
Oh, well,
fuck.
You guys, what?
I totally forgot to mention that I played Resident Evil 5.
No, you mentioned it, but I mean,
did
you didn't say anything about it though. Oh no. Yeah, I think you said that offline. Never mind.
Yeah, it was off. Yeah. That was off the air.
But I, yeah, okay. I did
play
some Resident Evil 5, but I'll save that for a month in review. So
okay,
let's
cool.
get started in
there. All right.
Jason, why don't you
all
go
right,
first?
We'll go forward.
So Street Fighter 4 has become my second business. Like I've mortgaged my home and everything, and I'm trying to pay off, you know, severe debt to play this game. So that's what kind of a distraction it is for me. Resident Evil 5 has been a terrible distraction, and remember, terrible is a good thing.
That's right.
So, and what else did I play? Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
I mean, and, a couple of other things here and there, but never, you know, more than just the loading screen before I get bored and have to turn it off and go back to Street Fighter.
Gotcha.
For the most part.
Chris,
all right. Let's see. Phantasy Star I've been playing still, and that's still a major distraction. I play it pretty much every chance I get time to sit down with my PSP. Lots of Rock Band, which currently is in the minor distraction category just because I don't play it a lot, but every once in a while I just really want to play it.
Yeah.
So I'll go back to it. Street Fighter 4, of course, is a major distraction. Damn it. Infinite Undiscovery is currently fucking day job. Damn it. Retro Game Challenge, fucking major distraction, man. That game is so good. And as I said, I forgot to mention Resident Evil 5. I did get a chance to play that a little bit, this week. I played it with John actually on, playing co-op, and we made it through like the first two chapters. And I loved the shit out of it. Right now I'm going to call it a minor distraction just cause I haven't put a lot of time in it,
mm-hmm.
but I have a feeling the next month in review, it's going to be different. So I'm really enjoying the game. I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I was going to when I played the demo. Because when I played the demo, I was getting really frustrated with the controls. And you know, I fooled around with some of the other control types after I started playing it. And I was like, all right, I can get used to this. You know, the whole fucking move and shoot thing, I'll get over that.
Yep.
I'm enjoying this. It's like, you shoot a damn zombie in the leg, you walk up to him, you stomp on his fucking chest. Something satisfying about it.
It is extremely satisfying, isn't it? Dude, have you gotten the stun rod yet? Because that thing is fun.
I have not gotten the stun rod.
Dude, oh yeah. It's like a long-ass bug zapper baton.
Gotcha. I have the machine gun and I have the shotgun. So, and the pistol, of course.
Get playing.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. And yes, Sheva is damn hot.
Isn't she? Oh my god.
Hell yeah, dude. That's it for me, man. Nice. Jeff.
Well, of course, the obvious is Street Fighter 4, which is a super the fucking terrible distraction.
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to call a demo a major distraction. But fuck it, I'm gonna do it because it's our fucking show. The UFC demo I've been playing the fucking shit out of. And that has been a major distraction. Like, yeah, me and my friends, like that, as I said, that one like weekend when they came over for that night, we played the fuck out of it. I'm playing it all the time, even when I have like time in the morning, like, hey, I got to leave in 10 minutes. What could I do? I can play a match of the UFC demo.
Cool.
So, but don't take this, any of the like listeners, don't take this as like an actual review or anything of the actual game that might change. Like I said, this is only two fighters with two different fighting styles. Like, it all change in a couple weeks when I pick up the game, but the demo was just, wow. It's one of the best demos I've ever played, ever.
A lot of Riddick, people have been talking about it, man. I mean,
it's good.
A ton of people. I've listened to a couple podcasts that have mentioned it. And, I mean, I'm just not into the UFC thing, but it's like I kind of want to try this demo just to try it out anyway.
Oh, you should. It's one of those games where you can just not know what you're doing, mash the hell out of the buttons, and still have a lot of fun with it and have crazy entertaining matches, or you can actually learn like all what all the button combinations are and everything and have a more technical fight and still be friggin' crazily insane, have everyone like all like anticipating a knockout or whatever. It's pretty fun. It's gonna be a great party fighter, like next to Street Fighter, like one that's people just gonna brawl out at and just mash buttons.
Alright, cool.
And then Riddick, I guess. Riddick played all last month. I'm gonna have to give that a major distraction as well, because that I still love Riddick. It does have its flaws. The AI is a little bit wonky here and there, but I like it. I like the gameplay. I like the shooting aspects. I like the fact that it mixes up in stealth and adventure and some puzzles here and there. And I'm still playing it a month later, so it says a lot. That's pretty much it, though, for the last month that I can think of. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is April in review.
Cool.
That was a good one. Nice and quick and to the point.
May should be good.
Yeah, May lots should be good. Fucking Infamous and... damn it. I want to play the demo. All right, Jeff, your show, man.
Cool. Well, one thing we're not going to be playing in May is Duke Nukem Forever. And
I was so holding out for that, too. Damn.
We're totally... it might not even happen ever. Because 3D Realms is apparently shutting down. They were Apogee Software back in the day. They made games like Duke Nukem Forever. They made Prey. There is another big franchise that I can't think of at the top of my head. But Take-Two has actually released a statement since this whole news came out and said that they don't know what's going to happen with the IP per se, because they still have the publishing rights to it, but the publishing rights, the agreement they signed with 3D Realms, it had nothing to do with funding of the development. So basically they have the rights to publish it, but they don't necessarily have to fund the project.
Right.
Who knows? It's still... What a surprise. Duke Nukem Forever is up in the air again, and it's right back on the back burner.
Oh, fuck.
Just give up. Honestly, at this point, I really don't think anyone cares except for that little niche group of people that now it's like a joke, and they just want to see what the game's going to be like in the end, because, you know, people these days don't know who the hell Duke Nukem is, so.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's been like 10 years since we had the last Duke Nukem game anyway, but it's still shitty to see studios shutting down. And it's not just 3D Realms either. I mean, we've seen a lot of this happening lately, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. But these guys, like, I want to feel sorry for them, but they take forever to release their games. You can't make a profit if you have no product to sell.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
So, yeah, you can be anal as hell or whatever, but you need to do something to make money. Like, at least Valve releases stuff here and there to make money to kind of support their episode 3, which they're still working on. Huh. But you know what I mean? Yeah, but I know whatever, what it kind of sucks. I would like to see the game, see what it come up with, see what they would do with it. But hopefully the people that were, you know, out of jobs now, they'll find a home somewhere else and maybe get this game going.
That would be cool.
Alrighty. You guys have subscriptions to Core, right?
Yes. No.
Cool.
Yes, my friend does.
Well, if you did, you can get in the Uncharted multiplayer beta, which begins on June 3rd. Basically the Core that's going to be releasing, I guess technically it comes out today, which would be 4 days ago if you're listening to this now, or 3 days ago. You automatically get entry into the Uncharted multiplayer beta.
Cool.
So when that becomes available, you'll be able to download it. I fall in the camp of where Uncharted doesn't need a multiplayer personally, but
yeah, it's a little weird to me.
Right, might be cool, but
see, I don't mind the co-op multiplayer, but I think the competitive multiplayer is going to be a little odd for Uncharted. I think I think they're trying to capitalize on like the Gears of War type multiplayer, and a lot of people like. They'll look at the combat of Uncharted and they'll compare it to Gears, but the game itself, you just won't compare the game itself to Gears, and that's why I don't think it's going to work. But the co-op I think is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. And actually, Crayman from GLF, he brought up a good point saying that I think a lot of people, when Uncharted came out, looked at it as a rental only or a game you borrowed from somebody because it's only like 6 hours long with nothing else going for it. Like, Jason, how many times have you replayed Uncharted?
Oh, that's right. I did play that game.
Yes. So
he borrowed it from me.
So basically, people look at it as, hey, it doesn't have any kind of replay value. Why should I buy it? I should just rent it. So if we slap multiplayer on there, it's going to sell. But Naughty Dog, they are good programmers. They are good developers. So maybe they can make a decent multiplayer.
Maybe they can give the game legs by adding multiplayer.
Maybe they could. And we'll find out on June 3rd if you're a Core subscriber.
All right.
All right, yeah. And Uncharted, compared to Gears, Gears 2 news, July 7th, new maps are hitting, plus new campaign level. What's going to happen is going to be available online, as well as they're going to have a retail copy of it as well. What you're getting is 7 new maps, the new campaign level, plus all of the other maps that they've had charge for. In the past, I think there's like been 2 map packs so far for Gears 2 for $19.99.
Okay.
So that's pretty decent if you haven't already bought the other map packs. Yeah, but if you've already bought the other map packs, you're like, ooh, because the difference is, even if you download the new stuff, you're only the new stuff's only going to be the 7 new maps and the new DLC campaign level.
Right.
So you're getting a better deal if you haven't bought those Gears maps already. That's a great deal, $20 for... I don't know, something like 15 maps or so, or 16 maps plus a new campaign.
Pretty big.
Yeah, so look for that on July 7th. Get your gears back on. Hopefully they fix the matchmaking problems they were having since launch.
Get your gear on.
It takes forever to get into a game. Yeah. We don't live in Europe, but apparently if you're in Europe and you're a Ghostbusters fan, that had nothing to do with anything, but hey, whatever.
But that's okay. Who cares?
And you're a Ghostbusters fan, you better hope you own a PS3, because Sony has apparently have the rights to publish the Ghostbusters game in Europe and all the PAL regions. So the PS2 version, there is a PS2 version, right? Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah,
Yeah, PS2 and PS3 is going to be published by Sony, which means that the 360 version is kind of up in the air. There's rumors that it's a timed exclusive.
And the Wii version, too. And the PS version.
And the Wii version, too. So there's rumors it's a timed exclusive, and some are saying it might not even come out there at all on the other platforms, depending on what this deal portrays, whatever they sign to do. Mm-hmm. So doesn't affect North America.
Well, good.
Yet. So, but hey, if you're in Europe, Ghostbusters fan, don't have a PS3, it might be an issue.
Yeah. They also mentioned that the PSP version got started talking about a PSP version again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They're revitalizing that because that kind of went off on the back burner for a while.
Yeah, it kind of, everyone lost it on their, I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
People
I had something
it,
in my head,
like
and
it.
I just I lost the word that I was going to say for it. So it's radar. Okay. That's what I was looking for. It kind of dropped off everyone's radar, and then they brought it back. So
yeah.
Well, what do you guys think about this? Because I know Jeff had a pretty interesting opinion about it at first, and I'm
my opinion is whip be fucking do, because people were making a big deal that they nailed this time exclusive in Europe. Sony isn't having problems in Europe.
No,
Sony needs to start putting money to get the exclusives in North America.
Right.
It's like whip be shit. Like someone, I can't remember who it was on the show box the other day, said it was like they put it in like quotes like, oh, and Sony Sony gathers or Sony gets exclusivity for Ghostbusters Antarctica, throw a big party or something. <I'm> like, like that's pretty funny. I'm like, I sure, it's good. Any exclusive is good, a time exclusive or not, but it's like you don't need it in Europe, guys.
Yeah,
like,
they need it in North America. It would make much more sense for Sony of America to go after this. And you know, who knows? Maybe they are, but yeah, well, at this point, it doesn't matter. It's not going to make that much of a difference, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, if they're not after the Ghostbusters license, why don't they go after the Final Fantasy 13 demo, which apparently isn't going to be released in North America, at least with the Advent Children Blu-ray, because Square feels it wouldn't be fair for the 360 owners.
Oh,
and also, apparently, that the deal they signed with MS states that any demo that would be released on PS3 or 360 would have to be a simultaneous release.
Well, okay. So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So basically, whether that's probably MS's terms and conditions, there's no way Square would do that.
Yeah. Still, that's pretty shitty, though.
Yeah. That is shitty, but I mean, that was MS putting forward the money to say, hey, let's secure this release so they don't get the exclusive. At least we're getting the same day. Sony, take your money out of Europe. You're doing fine in Europe. You don't need someone to throw you a life preserver in Europe. You're fine. Yeah. You're already swimming. Your arm's there.
No shit.
Like, throw your money into North America right now and secure that shit. Get that Final Fantasy 13 demo and Advent Children Blu-ray. Not because, you know, not because I want you to, because I want it early. I want to play that thing, damn it. I don't know how to read Japanese, so I'm not willing to import that thing. So, yeah, anyway, so that's the news there, is Final Fantasy 13 demo, don't look for it in the Advent Children Blu-ray. They did still say they are going to look to bring out the same version of that demo in North America, but it'll be likely be in downloadable form and same day.
Huh. Gotcha.
Cool. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, we talked about it last week.
Speaking of downloads.
Yeah, speaking of downloadable stuff.
Sorry.
It's okay. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, we speculated that, well, it is coming out to PSN, Xbox Live, wasn't really a release date. Marvel has come out and said that it's going to hit Xbox Live and PSN on June 29th. Capcom is saying not so much, really. They haven't released the release date yet, and they're not ready to announce that. It is kind of weird that because the 29th is a Monday and Xbox Live games don't come out on Monday, and they definitely don't come out on Mondays for PSN.
Yeah. Right.
But this does put it right around that timeline where we thought they were going to release it, which is right around the time that Blaze Blue and King of Fighters come out. So
it makes a lot of sense. Interesting. It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, Capcom's kind of pulling the cock block on that one, which might be smart, but.
And then they'll do something to get people who haven't bought Street Fighter 4 to go out and buy Street Fighter 4. So
yeah, true that, Holmes.
I can see that.
Yeah, and if you didn't already buy Guitar Hero 1, 2, 3 World Tour,
got them all.
Or Rock Band, got them all. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Activision announced today actually that Guitar Hero 5 is going to be being released this holiday.
Oh, that's a big surprise. Is it this year sometime?
Nope. Yeah, this holiday season. No
Along
big surprise
with Guitar
there.
Hero World Hits or whatever the fuck it is, and Guitar Hero Van Halen and Guitar Hero Metallica
and wait.
Guitar Hero Kids Bop.
Guitar Hero New Kids on the Block.
Kids Bop. Well, Kids Bop's actually, they're actually renaming that, Jason, to Band Hero.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, are you serious?
So, I'm 100% serious. They're going to have Band Hero. And the reason I said the whole thing about the Kids Bop is because Band Hero is going to be basically marketed towards teenagers. It's going to have a bunch of top 40s music on it, and none of the songs are going to be, it's going to be rated like teen or like for everyone. So it's not going to have any songs that have swearing or cursing in it, which is none of the songs do. They just bleep it out anyway.
Right.
For the kids.
Yeah, it's for the kids. My thing is, I think it's a reaction to, what's it called?
I'm glad they bleep it out.
Lego Rock Band.
Lego Rock Band, because that's the exact same thing Lego Rock Band's doing. Band Hero. And if you're not into the whole guitar drums thing, you can hit up DJ Hero. They did show a picture of the controller, which looks like a turntable thing with the four
colored buttons on it. What the fuck are the buttons for?
Yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, so Activision, way to go and segment your markets, because now you're going to have Guitar Hero 5, which is still fucked, because Guitar Hero 4 technically isn't Guitar Hero 4. It's got Guitar Hero World Tour. Then you have Band Hero, which Guitar Hero World Tour kind of was, because it was ripping off Rock Band. And then you're well, the DJ stuff, that's cool. That's a totally different market.
Oh, that's very cool. You know what I want to do?
Yeah.
It's like, who
gives a shit?
Gives a shit.
Can't wait to play that one.
Oh, that was awesome.
Nice.
Seriously, yeah, what the
fucking
fuck,
retarded.
Activision? They've got like literally four Guitar Hero games coming out this year.
Yeah, dude, they're whoring this
shit.
Stop
it, people.
Oh, shit.
God, stop buying this shit. Pick one and just support that. That's it.
Yeah, no, please. Yeah, pick Rock Band and support that shit. Jesus.
And, of course, with all this stuff, they're going to bring in a whole bunch of new plastic instruments that we can all go and buy.
This
hey,
is overkill. This
sounds
is
like something we're
going to
talk about pretty
be,
soon.
Nobody's going to care anymore. So
exactly. Well, maybe they will care. Maybe they like these instruments.
Not
maybe
that
they
much.
Like oh. filling rooms with plastic.
Maybe they like going to get a beer and going for a cigarette.
Hey, I like that.
All right, and with that, we will take a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some more of these plastic peripherals. And after that, we're going to do new releases, listener email. We got to get a contest winner. We're going to squeeze that in there somehow. And we'll do a new question of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll
Sounds
be
good.
Back right after this. It's time to wake up.
This role-playing game, out in 2004, returns to the world of Azeroth, where heroes like Leroy Jenkins do battle. And that would be the world of Warcraft.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because your limited online game time should not be ruined by douchebags.
Release the inner child. Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And we are back.
I'm glad. That
you're
was
back.
Worried.
I am back. And you guys are back, too.
It's been a while.
Oh, it's amazing how that works. Yeah, I think Jeff's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
No, mute button right now. No mute button right now.
No mute button. I'm good.
All right, so today we are talking about gaming peripherals and whether or not they are worth it, pretty much, if they're... fun with plastic or a waste of space.
Super scope for the win.
Nice.
I love that. Yoshi Safari and stuff. Oh.
The Menacer. Anyway, sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
Cool. Well, we put several things into this category, like special controllers that come with games, as well as accessories for consoles. So, as always, I guess we should pass the show off to Jason and let him do his thing.
Let's find out what the people's had to say. And by peoples, I mean
really
the peoples that actually wrote into our show.
That's what's really important. Because we're dumbasses.
We just talk out of our asses most of the time anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, first one here is from The Killer 7.
Hey, all right.
Sound familiar? The name sounds the real name.
Sounds
anyway.
Like a game.
Well, Killer the game sounds familiar.
In any case, say they're Indus. Peripherals.
Hey.
Do we need them? Well, yes. I mean, one game I'm sure is going to be mentioned a lot. That's Guitar Hero / Rock Band. And with those games, yeah, you do really need the peripherals. I mean, I was kind of not into the Guitar Heroes for a good while. And then one day I played the demo for Guitar Hero 3 on my OXM demo disc. Since I didn't have the guitar controller, I had to use the controller. I had fun and bought the game eventually. And once you get the guitar, it's a completely different experience. So yeah,
that is true.
Also, games like Street Fighter 4 also require arcade sticks if you expect to get to the high level of play. And while some peripherals are solely for convenience sake, like, say, DVD remotes, wireless headsets, and controllers in every flavor color you can imagine, they're still cool. And while they're still... Let's see. And while they still half-assed it with the faceplates, I have a few cool cosmetic accessories for my 360. Got an Eternal Sonata faceplate on my 360 currently. I'm correcting stuff. I'm sorry. I bought a Ninja Gaiden 2 console skin for my 360. And yeah, I know. Console skins are lame, but you know how I am with Ninja Gaiden. So yeah, Indus peripherals. What? So yeah, Indus, peripherals are great, even if some companies Microsoft charge $179 for 120 gig hard drive, which I bought, sadly enough.
Wow. I might do the same.
And a quick note about last week, Jeff. The 120 gig hard drive is now $129.99. Still way too much, but just thought I'd point that out.
That's the U.S. monies.
I think this is Necro.
The name, yeah, the real name.
Joshua Major. That's Necro, right?
You can put it up. Okay. I think so.
Is it? I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Alrighty.
Yeah, faceplates, waste of time, waste of space.
But
in my opinion.
I never caught on.
But a Ninja Gaiden console skin. That's pretty cool, right?
Oh, of course it's fucking Necro.
Yes.
Necro, yeah.
That right there.
Skins are lame. The biggest reason I don't like the whole faceplate thing is because usually they come in like this weird off like solid color that totally looks ridiculous on like the eggshell white, whatever the hell you want to call the 360, mm-hmm. and it looks retarded. Yeah, so they put the skins out so you can put the skins over it to all be one kind of color. But I don't know. I have a couple faceplates that I bought, but I've honestly never used them. I think I had a Gears of War one on. Yeah, I got buying the hype like early. I was like, oh, these are cool. When Gears of War's coming out, like, oh, okay. Gears of War faceplate, I have to have that.
Oh,
no. I had it on my console for like 3 weeks. I'm like, this looks fucking dumb.
You're a sucker.
Yeah, basically.
I kind of like some of the custom ones out there, but I mean,
probably the custom ones are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're custom. You know, they're different. But right. I've never actually bought one, I don't think. I'm not sure that I ever would. Like, would I want a Viva Pinata faceplate?
No.
No. Even a Mass Effect.
Would you want a Street Fighter faceplate?
I've looked at them and they're tempting just because, you know, I got, you know, kind of caught up in that Street Fighter thing. But no, I don't think that I'd pay $30 for, you know, the console skin plus faceplate. And that's kind of my point is that they're so friggin' expensive. They're like $10, $15, $20.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But true that. People like bling.
That is true.
That's right.
That is true.
People like to pimp and soup up their shit.
Yep.
Pick my console.
So while people like us are sticking our nose up, I mean, there's probably lots more people that are like, fuck yeah, I got to have that.
Oh, yeah. So. There's some rare ones now that people give out, like E3 and stuff, that there's only a certain amount, like limited edition, that go for, like,
and they throw them up on
dollars
eBay.
On eBay. Yeah.
Sweet. You were going to say something, but, Chris.
I was going to go back to the Guitar Hero and Rock Band thing and, mm-hmm. and just... mentioned that I agree with him that you only need one set, and I don't think I don't think it's a waste of space if you have one set. But what's really pissing me off about the whole Rock Band Guitar Hero thing is the constant attempt to one up each other. You know, mm-hmm. it's like oh well, you know, we have drums. Okay, well now we have drums and we have three drums and two cymbals. And now and then Rock Band has new drums and they have a cymbal expansion set. And then
you
Rock
have
Revolution comes out.
For your accessories.
Exactly. Yeah, you have exactly. accessories for the accessories.
You have the drum pads to muffle the sound of your drums.
I know. It's like... ridiculous how much crap they're throwing out there. And now we have a mic that's wireless and has like controller options on it.
Which
like,
is pretty cool.
Oh, fuck. It is really cool, but I wish they would have, I mean, you know, they
done
have to be
first,
thinking about this shit before.
Yeah, that's what bugs me the most about the Guitar Hero stuff, like with Activision, is they release a new guitar every single year.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And every year you feel like you need to upgrade to that guitar because it's going to have some kind of feature that you can't get on the one you already have, and you're not getting the same experience, and it's too much. Like, you can do it. I don't mind if they do it like every couple of years, but to have it done every single year, it's overkill.
Yeah. And, I mean, you could say the same thing about the Rock Band stuff, but, I mean, if you look at the two Rock mm-hmm. Band guitars that came out, there's not really anything major that was changed with the Rock Band 2 guitar. You know, so the buttons are a little quieter and it's got the sensor on it for syncing. But that's it. I mean, it's not like they put the Guitar Hero stuff, it's like when they moved from 3 to World Tour, 3 just had the 5 buttons. World Tour has the 5 buttons and it's got that slide bar you were talking about, and the slide bar is actually a mechanic in the game. And
yes, exactly.
that's how they're fucking you, man. They're like, well, you can't use the mechanic unless you go and buy a brand new guitar that costs like $80. You know, it's just, it's a pain in the ass.
That's a ripoff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It totally is.
I mean, because
fuck you, Activision.
Really
fuck you very much.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, I for one can't stand all of the, you know, the new guitars that they have coming out. Like, they've got ones coming out for the Beatles, and yeah, there's just too
many. Oh God, that's a bunch of crap. I can't believe that they're doing that.
Yeah.
The $250 set. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, it's like, I honestly, I expect that shit from Activision, but I didn't expect it from Harmonix.
True.
I really didn't.
I don't even think that probably wasn't even a Harmonix. It's probably EA.
It very well could be an EA thing.
They probably could be saying, hey, I want some of this money for that licensing. They need to make their money back somehow. Because it's the Beatles. They probably paid out the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
All right. Let's move on to another email. This one's from, hey, Mr. Goose. He wrote in again.
Hey, okay.
Hey. What's he say? Two in a row.
Hey, guys at Indus. It's your new best friend here, Mr. Goose. First
off, what's
up? I have to say thank you for reading my email on your podcast. I nearly shit my pants when I realized it was my email you were reading. I'm sorry about that.
Please don't lose control over your bowels.
If you do that, write about it and email us. That'll make entertaining.
Yes, we definitely need an email about that shit. No pun intended.
Oh, hey.
So, on to the question of the week. Are gaming peripherals good or bad? Well, for one, I love buying knickknacks and God of War necklaces for my console that don't do jack shit for your gaming enjoyment. Okay, I don't actually do that, but I thought it would be funny to say. One of the first things I think of is Rock Band. In music games, guitars and drums are essential. It's just a way more fun playing drums than playing with a controller.
Agreed.
Also, back when the PS2 was my main game, I found that this futuristic thing at Target, it was a wireless PS2 controller. Ooh. I was so amazed. I actually played the controller under a blanket and it worked. The PS2 received. Also, I could actually play from my couch. Little did I know this awesomeness was coming to the PS3. It's innovations like these are why gaming peripherals are great fun. And for the peripherals that are a waste of fucking space, watch this video. It's the angry video game nerd and his reviews of old NES peripherals. We're going to put that in the show notes.
We'll put that in the show notes.
But he's awesome.
If I remember.
The activator better be on there.
it's probably got the fucking power glove, man.
How about the U-Force? You guys remember that?
Oh, the U-Force. That was ridiculous.
Punch out to be like the main game for that thing?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Most notorious, of course, is the power glove, though. I mean, it was featured in, you know, The Wizard and whatnot. And you know what? It is pretty bad.
Power glove is so bad.
It is.
Like, oh, yeah, it is bad.
Dude, I couldn't rush out and buy that thing fast enough. And the first game I tried, of course, was Rad Racer. And it's the one that they played in The Wizard. And I could never, ever get that damn thing to work. So.
Yeah, it was retarded. It didn't actually work.
Yep. Yeah, Nintendo's notorious. No fucking notorious for putting out kind of useless peripherals for the systems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and now they're doing it and making killing off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right?
Whereas, you know, before none of them really seemed to succeed, you know, we had like Rob. You remember him?
Yes.
Used Rob the Robot?
For Gyromite.
I got the system that came with Duck Hunt and Gyromite.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the system
really?
I got. Yeah.
So you gave him the controller and he just hit the button?
Yep.
Once in a while, randomly.
Well, no. He would have like a little, like
yeah, the gyro spinner thing.
Yeah,
and you had to make the top, like they were like little tops. You had to make them spin, and then he picked them up and dropped them on the right button.
Right, but then you're like, you know, wait, all I have to do is just hit the button on the second controller.
Right.
What the fuck?
Like,
fuck
all
you,
this
Rob.
Is doing is hitting the A and B button. And it's like, fuck you, Rob.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
the hell out of here.
So yeah, some other first party stuff was like the power pad. Do you guys ever use that? I used it a lot for track and field.
That was actually pretty cool.
For track and field, that was fun.
Yeah. That was actually pretty cool. Until you get to the point where
went up there at the party to try it. <It's> like, they end up going on their knees and hitting it with their hands.
Yeah, or they run and run and run, and when they have to jump, they jump off the pad and then jump back on.
Yeah. That was
I did that shit, man. I was a cheating motherfucker when I was young.
Cheater. But yeah, there's also the third-party stuff. You mentioned the Super Scope before.
The Super Scope.
That was the first-party thing.
Super Scope was first-party. The thing is, the Menacer 2, which was the Sega's answer to Super Scope, both were fucking terrible. But Sega marketed, like, they brought that out right around when Terminator 2, the arcade game, was hitting consoles.
Oh, okay.
So that was actually pretty smart of them, because that was actually a pretty popular arcade game, at least around here anyway, where you had the... you know,
doozies
like
or whatever.
Light gun game. Yeah, exactly. It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And it suckered me in, man. I asked for it for Christmas. I remember going to a, I think it was called a KB Toys. We're somewhere in Buffalo. Some toy store we didn't have in Canada. I think it's KB Toys. And they had one on display there. And I was like there all day long. My parents were doing shopping with like my sister or whatever. I'm sitting there like playing video games with KB Toys, this Menacer thing. This is awesome. I want it. And I got it for Christmas. Played Terminator. Played the game pack that came with it. And that was about it. And then it became a prop in a whole bunch of homemade movies that me and my friends used to make.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah, we beat the shit out of it. It was like the gun. It was like, you gotta get the super gun and put it together. And it was fun. Yeah, it's really cheesy as fuck, but rules. Pretty funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, man, I used the shit out of my Zapper, though, on the NES.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah,
that,
dude. I played Duck Hunt like mad.
Yeah,
though.
Like Wild Gunman. Do you guys remember
Operation
Gumshoe?
Gumshoe, yeah.
And of course, you know, yeah. Duck Hunt. But I would always get like right up to the screen. And I was a cheap motherfucker too. Sorry.
Everyone was then. Yeah. Lethal Enforcers. Was that on? No, that was Super NES.
That was on Genesis and Super NES. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was on Super NES. I know it was on Genesis.
Mm-hmm. So there are definitely some peripherals out there that's, you know,
worth it. No doubt.
Totally.
I remember. You remember the Gun Con on the PS1?
Yes.
And the PS and the
so
PS2
familiar.
And the PS3 actually now.
Yep.
For the Konami gun.
No, it was the Namco
Konami
gun. It was for Time
Namco gun,
time
sorry,
crisis,
Namco.
Right. And it actually plugged into the video output on the system or on your TV.
Badass.
The video input. And that was pretty cool, and they talked about how it was like accurate down to the pixel and shit like that. And I'm like, okay. And I just remember playing that game one day. I was playing Time Crisis and I was shooting this guy, or I thought I was shooting this guy, but he was behind this like little, he was behind like a gate, and I was just pinging it off the gate. Yeah. And it was hitting the bar, and I was like, shit.
That's funny.
So not entirely.
Seen the new Gun Con though? It's fucking ugly as hell.
Yeah, it's really retarded. Heavy. I can't believe they did it that way.
What's it called for Sega Saturn? I don't mind when stuff like that comes with a game like a Time Crisis. I remember buying Virtual Cop 2 on Sega Saturn. That came with a gun as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was really fun. I liked that game. That was cool. But again, that was the only game I had that used that thing.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
What, you never played Revolution X?
Revolution X?
No, sorry. Oh. Is that the Aerosmith one?
Yeah, that's the one. That was pig butt nasty.
Yeah.
Terrible.
My thing with peripherals is that, you know, the majority of the time, unless it's something like Rock Band, because that's kind of an exception, but even that still, I mean, I want it to work for more than one game, you know?
Yeah, and, well, we should keep Rock Band and Guitar Hero because, like, they are going to have multiple games coming out here and there, so you're always going to get total use for them. Like, we're all using them all the time.
Right, absolutely.
That's like, yeah, you need them. You don't need all the new revisions, but...
Yeah, but, like, I have Taiko Drum Master, for instance, and it's like, I don't ever play it. It's like, I have it, I played it, like, four or five times, and I enjoyed the shit out of it, but it's just, it's too much of a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yeah, it is. They're collecting dust next to the bongos, but I did play the hell out of Taiko. Holy shit.
Dude, you were fucking good at Taiko, man.
I love Taiko.
I just remember watching you play that game on like hard or expert or whatever it was and just sitting there amazed at like, holy shit.
That game was fun. Yeah, that's why I bought two copies because I wanted to dual drum it. And I got okay at it. But anyway. Yeah, that's my Taiko
Freak.
Story.
The Sambi de Amigo Maracas.
Oh, yeah.
Or those are Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Virtual On Joysticks was never actually came to North America, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Man, I always wanted one though.
Oh, you remember what was it for the original Xbox that came with? It was like $250. Came with that big ass
Steel Battalion.
Oh,
Steel Battalion.
That's kind of the holy grail.
That's like if you had that thing, you were hardcore geek. Yeah, that was like.
But that's the thing. It's like I could never buy that because it would be
hard to justify.
Where the fuck am I going to put it?
Where would you put it, and what else would you play it with?
Yeah,
have you guys played this game?
No. Steel Battalion? No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It is okay. The game, not so much, but the controller, it literally weighs like, fuck, I want to say like 40 pounds, but I don't think it's
But I've messed around with the controller a little bit.
Yeah, it divides in like three different places. In the game, the funnest part of that entire game was starting up your mech, because you had to like, all the buttons lit up, and you had to hit the right buttons in the right order to kind of turn the thing on. You had to like, heat it up, put the throttle forward, do all the cool stuff. And I was like, this is fucking badass. I need to get one of these things. And I actually started playing the game, and I was like, this game fucking sucks. Wait, what, how much for this?
Yeah, it was more of a sim than anything, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was really simple. Yeah. And it was, you died so fast, and it was just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that kind of thing. That's not worth it at all. That's definitely a waste of space right there.
Oh, God, yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, especially for a game, it's one game, and the game isn't even that good. It's like, no. Like, yeah, the virtual on sticks, at least the game is good.
Yeah, but again, you're still only going to play, like, a lot of these things are come from arcade ports where you need them to play. Right. You know, to get the same experience at home, which you're only going to play for that one game. Like, everyone wanted to see what's called Super... No, what was that? That sniper game?
Silent Scope.
Super Scope?
Silent Scope. Silent consoles, Scope. And it finally did. Silent Scopes, yeah. And it did, and of course there was no gun for it, and it's like, this game blows without it. But yeah, but if you were to spend like $100 on an actual thing that could somewhat simulate that, it would, you'd play for that one game, and that's it, and nothing else would come out.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like 80% of them, I think, are a totally waste of space, unless you're planning on playing the game for a long time.
Or you have multiple games to play with the accessory.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's one of the reasons I liked the Gun Con on PS1, because there were other games that I got to play with it, you know? Same with the PS2 one. Like, the PS2 one, I had Time Crisis. Which one came out on PS2? I think it was Time Crisis 3. Might have been 2 and 3. And then they had Vampire Knight as well, which also came out. And then, like, Coast PS1, they had Elemental Gearbolt, which is a working designs game that used the Gun Con. So, yeah, I was all over those. But, you know, just some of the other ones that are only for one game, it's just, I can't justify it.
I'm with you. Hey, let's play a voicemail.
What do you think? Cool. Let's have a voicemail. It. Awesome.
Which one should I do?
The second one.
Okay. Good choice.
Wait, do we actually have two?
Yeah, we do.
Nice. All right, cool.
What's going on in this? This is Eddie Kuznagy from VG Evo.
That Skype sound is Jeff's fault.
Answer question of the week for episode 76.
All right.
Gaming accessories, are they necessary for your console? I would have to say yes, only for the necessary ones. accessories that I currently own, I have to say, are only the necessary ones, such as a keypad, a keyboard, definitely a Bluetooth or a gaming headset, a joystick, yeah, definitely for Street Fighter. I could just say briefly on a joystick that, I mean, if you don't have a joystick for Street Fighter and you're planning to go pro with it, then, yeah, you're not going to go nowhere with that DualShock. I have to say the unnecessary ones, such as like an intercooler or like a controller skin for your controller or none of that nonsense, I have to say no to them. I mean, there are a lot of third-party accessories such as controllers and all that, but I don't go for that. I only go for first-party ones.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
I think that about sums it up.
Cool, man.
Great job with the show.
Thanks.
Keep it up.
We will. Because you guys keep sending his voicemails. We love it.
I think it's funny that he says that a joystick is necessary. He's still using a pad right now, though, right?
He's still using a pad right now.
Yeah, he is getting a joystick. He did tell me that the other day. He said he's
he's cleaning up with a pad, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping one of two things. What? He's either going to be really, really good with the stick, or he's going to have a crazy hard transition period from the pad to the stick.
Yeah,
he might. His play's going to go down a bit.
Learning curve. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's very possible.
Which I find funny, because I've played fighters, besides in the arcade, primarily with a control pad. It wasn't until this generation where I'm like, I need an arcade stick for some weird reason. And I don't know. I can't remember. I guess it was sometime before Street Fighter 4 came out, or not even Street... No, what did I buy? I guess it was for Soul Calibur 4. Where I was like, hey, I need an arcade stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up the Ori stick, and then now I'm like, I can't go back. And yeah. I don't know, it's just like the thing recently where I'm like, I need an arcade stick.
I think it's just kind of gotten that way, especially with the advent of, you know, 3D fighters nowadays, where it's requiring multiple button combinations, and it's just easier when you have all the buttons on the face.
Right.
I think that's just kind of an evolving thing. And even the 2D fighters, you're seeing a lot of multi-button presses, more so than you used to.
But yeah, this is actually the first 2D fighter that I actually felt like I wanted to have a stick for.
Yeah.
Before that, it was like I would only use a stick for things like I used a stick for Tekken, just because it was because of the multi-button press thing, just like what Jason said. So,
Eddie's other point about necessary peripherals. that having the necessary ones is necessary. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That was great.
You should definitely have an AC adapter.
some sort of video cable.
Want to have some sort of AV cable.
Some kind of controller to play.
A controller would work. Something to hold your save games on, like a memory card or a hard drive.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
And a game. You kind of need a game to play.
But no, you brought up good points too. Wireless controllers,
headsets,
chat pad type thing. That's a good one too. Mm-hmm. Have you guys used the chat pads yet? A 360 or you have both of them? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't use a 360 one at all anymore, only because it's being kind of wonky. And I think it only works on one of my controllers, and I hate plugging into one of them and being like, oh shit, it's the other controller it works with, so I'm not going to bother switching.
Mm-hmm.
The PS3 one I use quite often. I hate the fact that you have to charge it separately. It doesn't run off the same charge as the controller.
Yeah.
Really?
Where the 361, the 361 runs off the controller, so you just plug it in and go, but the battery of the chat pad on PS3 has its own battery. So it can run out before your controller does, and you got to fucking charge it up. And
that's weird.
It's a pain in the ass.
Will it not work anymore?
Sorry?
Will it not work?
If you plug it in, it just does not work.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe the backlighting would go out or something. But
there is no backlighting.
I didn't know for sure. Okay.
Yeah, which kind of sucks too, because if you're playing at night with the lights kind of dim, you can't really see what you're doing. Whereas the 361 is backlit, but the problem with the 361 is you have to have it attached to the controller, which is kind of why I like the PS3 one. I usually don't attach it. I just have it laying there on my table. So then if I have to write a message, I hit the guide button and then just pull up the keyboard thing and just type it in.
Oh, okay, so, cool.
Man. That's kind of cool. So it's got they're both good. I think they're both actually worth it for the price. The PS3 one's a little bit pricey. I think it's $10 or $20 more than the 360 one, and it's not backlit.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still if you're doing a lot of text messages, do it.
Yeah.
But it still has that cool track motion, which is
retarded.
Which
I've never used.
Yeah, I know. I was about to ask you if you've ever used that freaking thing. It's like, yeah, right.
No.
I love the 360 one. Once I got it, it's permanently affixed to my controller now. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it a lot.
It is.
So that's totally not a waste of space. It's not like hindering or anything.
And it doesn't really take up that much space anyway. Yeah, exactly. You just attach the damn thing to the controller, so it's not that big of a deal.
And you get used to them so fast, you don't even know they're there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And very helpful.
For both of them, either. Yeah.
Cool. What else did he mention? Nice. Did he mention anything else?
Third party versus first party. You can touch the controllers. Definitely first party. Go with the controllers.
I always go with first party controllers.
There's been very few controllers over the years. And I'm kind of like a controller connoisseur. Like, I end up buying a lot of third party controllers for whatever reason. Either I hack them up or I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. But there's very few, you know, that are better than the original first party controllers. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be paying a little bit more, but you're actually getting better quality. And you can tell right away. The first third-party controller I ever bought was for Dreamcast, which, mind you, had a much superior D-pad on it. The rest of it was pretty much crap. And I remember when I had people over, and we'd be playing multiplayer games, and I'd pick up the Dreamcast controller, and they'd go be like, oh, I got to use this one? Like, yes, you do.
You're the guest. Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
And they could tell. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Totally.
Yeah, everyone's going crazy for Mad Cat sticks, but they're actually good quality. So,
these new ones, the Street Fighter ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not to bring up Street Fighter talk, but they did a pretty good job.
They did a good job. They did a good job. One third party controller that I did jump on was the in the previous generation of consoles. I jumped on the Logitech wireless ones.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, they're really nice. That was one of the ones that who was talking about that? I think it was Necro that mentioned that.
Really.
That he was he could play it from under his blanket or something like that. One of them did. One of our emails mentioned it.
Oh yeah, that was Mr. Goose.
Was Goose.
I don't think
Mr.
he got a Logitech Goose. One, but anyway.
It was the same technology. Where it was like the radio technology, and it was just worked great. And the Logitech ones were just flawless, no lag or anything with the input, and it felt really good. So those are the third party. Those are the only third party controllers that I've ever actually bought.
Those are very good.
And sticking even to the first, I like this generation that they nailed. They had the Rumble. PS3, like Sony eventually got the Rumble. They have the wireless. Some of them have the motion. All in one. It doesn't seem like there's anything they can add to it. Or if they are, they have the inputs to add stuff in. Whereas I didn't like it back in the day. Like, I was one for the GameCube. I never bought the WaveBird. As much people love that controller.
Oh, I love that.
I just felt Like, I was like, why do I need to buy another... Like, I don't like when they release different versions of a controller in the first party that has more features. I just... Even, like, with, like, I think N64 did something similar. Yeah. The only time I did that ever was on the Genesis, where they had released their six-button control pad, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And that was because, of course, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, so...
Wavebirds were badass, like, though. They were really... Yeah, I think those are my first wireless controllers.
Yeah, actually, that was my first wireless controller, too.
Cool.
Was the Wavebird. The only thing that got me about that was they took the rumble out of it for it.
Oh, that's right, they did. Yeah.
Oh, fuck the rumble.
Using a DS. Yeah.
Cool. What else you got?
I got another voicemail.
All right.
Oh shit! All right, hit it up.
I think so. Yeah, I do. Who's this guy?
Okay, question of the week time. Let's see.
Who is this?
Gaming peripherals, phone, plastic,
voice. It's Asus. Hi.
Holy crap! He's back.
Is that it's not really a waste of space if you have one set for like Rock Band, but if you have Rock Band, then you buy Rock Band 2, and you have two sets of drums, two mics, then really that's the waste of space. And I just want to know where all these peripherals are going to go. Is there just going to be like a giant dumpster for Rock Band drums
and DJ Hero? It's going to be like ET.
I'll laugh at that. Well, that's basically all I got for Rock Band peripherals. Stuff like faceplates for 360, that's really just a waste of space.
Yes!
It would have been a lot better if they advertised for
whatever,
it.
Whatever, dude.
But yeah, there's no need to have a white Xbox and everything else, or just your faceplate to be like a weird color. That's all I got, kids.
Cool, thanks, man. Aces High is back.
Aces, welcome
back. Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Dude, I wonder if he sent us any random questions.
I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
We'll see. All right, cool. No, nail on the head with the Rock Band landfill stuff, you know, especially with the
doubt.
You know, I mean, we talked about it earlier. There's tons of new games coming out, lots of new peripherals. Fuck this shit, you know. I don't think they're going to sell well. So, yeah, maybe they will pull an ET and throw them all in a landfill somewhere. We'll see.
I still have my original Rock Band stuff. I didn't go out and buy the Rock Band 2 stuff.
Yeah, why the hell? I don't know. I didn't feel the need to, so I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't. Although I do want the Rock Band 2 drums just because they are quieter and they have the inputs for the cymbals.
Cymbals.
For the accessories for your accessories. And they're wireless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was actually, I kind of mentioned that to Crystal in passing, and I was like, you know, there part of me really wants to go out and get the Rock Band 2 drums because of this and this and this, but I just can't justify spending the money.
Yeah, and then do you do with your old ones?
And then what do I do with my old ones? And she was like, well, how much are they? And I'm like, $80. She goes, I can't justify that either.
Yeah, at least get some kind of fucking upgrade system for it. Like, you trade it in, you get like $40 even, or $50. But the second they announce something new like that, you bring it in to trade it in anywhere, you're getting nothing for
it. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
what I think would be really cool is, okay, remember when Rock Band first came out, you know, last November or whatever it was, and we were talking about like some of the problems that we were having, and but how good they were with getting turnaround, like having stuff, you know, they would actually ship you the replacement, and you would load up your broken one in the box and send it back. They could do that with these peripherals, and it's like, okay, you want the new guitar, then you pay, let's see, what's a guitar normally, like $60? You pay $30 and you send us back the old one. That's not a bad idea. You know, same thing with the drums. And then they send you the new drums, and you pack up the old drums, and you send them back. I would be cool with that.
I would be as well.
Yeah, I would be too. Yeah, that'd make sense.
Yeah, that would provide a little incentive for me. I'd be more inclined to do that. Absolutely. Because we have limited space. We own this townhouse, but it's still kind of like apartment size almost. So we've got shit all over the place. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, I mean, space is a huge issue, and I don't want to take on a new set of drums unless it's the Ion drums.
Those are awesome.
I'm still accepting donations for that.
Definitely not a waste of space. I was going to say, if anyone wants to send me a set of Ion drums, I can put them right next to the other two sets of Rock Band drums I have in the corner, taking up space.
At that point, yeah, they're going to like Goodwill or something like that.
Yeah.
And donate them to somewhere. I guess that's an option.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm out of emails. I'm out of voicemails.
Well, we should probably let's touch on a couple things that let's touch on a couple things that we haven't touched on yet.
Okay.
I was gonna mention like add-ons and stuff like that. Like Sega did it with their with the Sega CD.
Oh, like 32X and stuff like that.
And I will never say the Sega CD is a waste of space. Okay, because I loved it. I have like 8 or 9 games for it. I got all my, that's where I got my started with my working designs like obsession. I love that little system. But but the 32X, total waste in my opinion. I mean, there's like 2 good games on it. There's like Knuckles Chaotix and Star Wars, and that's like it.
Does the 32X? I don't know because they're game systems, I guess, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
I don't know if I lump them in, but.
Well, that was kind of leading me into the whole RAM expansion that they did for the N64. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was retarded because they were kind of segregating their market at that point.
And
Nintendo's good at doing that, you know. They did it with the Game Boy when they made the Game Boy Color, and now they did it with the DS, with the DSi. And now they're doing it again with the Wii, with the whole Motion Plus thing, because you know, they're going to have these games that are to come out and they're going to be compatible with Motion Plus, and people that don't have Motion Plus are going to not get the same experience out of it.
Right.
You know,
yeah, but they also have fucking Wii Sports 2 that's going to be having that Motion Plus packed into it, and people only play Wii Sports in their Wii anyway.
So,
I mean,
right.
people that aren't really gamers.
True.
Do you think Nintendo is the worst offender of junky peripherals?
I actually don't.
Oh, maybe not junky. No, okay. But for peripherals in general, maybe.
Okay, I'm just curious. Well, I could go either way with it, but.
I think that Nintendo is the worst when it comes to, like, actual peripherals, like, creating them and making people buy shit.
Yeah.
But they aren't the worst when it comes to how they, like, make it available to customers. You know, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but what I'm getting at is, like, I'm sorry, but shit on the 360 is way too expensive. The hard drive is way too expensive. The wireless adapter is fucking $100. The wireless headset is $60. I mean, it's just it's crazy how much that
you
spend.
That's really pissed me off because I thought at the beginning, like, hey, 20 gigs is a lot, but now with all the Rock Band stuff I've downloaded and some other add-ons to games, I literally have enough room on my hard drive right now to download maybe a demo. I usually keep one game copied on the hard drive just because it runs better, like Riddick or Wolverine or whatever, and then I have like no space, so I'm gonna have to upgrade at some point because this is getting ridiculous and they are not dropping it, because I guarantee they're probably sitting there thinking,
haha, sucker,
hey, you know what, they're gonna run out of space, we're gonna feed this down DLC, why lower the price of this hard drive, because they're gonna need to buy it soon. So I am actually gonna need to buy it, like, need to, or else delete half my like Rock Band collection or whatever the hell I downloaded lately.
That's redonkulous.
Right.
It's redonkulous.
Redonkulous.
And to respond back to Necro, it's $129 US, and here at Canada, I think it's $159 here, actually, not $179.
Gotcha.
But it's still fucking too expensive.
It's still way too expensive. That's the main point. And you know, it's just, and that's the thing, Jeff. You're absolutely right. They're saying, oh, people are going to buy it because they're going to run out of space. We only gave them 20 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And the wireless adapter is just people not being, you know, they don't understand that you can go out and buy something for half the price that will do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So it's Nintendo's the worst with peripherals. Microsoft is the worst with taking advantage of consumers. Let's put it that way. That's my opinion.
Where does Mad Catz fit in?
Madcats made some pretty badass joysticks.
Pretty shitty
everything else, though.
Yeah, they do make pretty shitty everything else.
Never buy Madcats anything except for these. But they had, didn't they have somebody work with them on these joysticks?
Like, I think
sure
so.
They
yeah.
were.
Yeah, they did.
Like, I think they did.
Yeah, so they were basically had someone looking over the shoulder, like, no, this shit better be good.
It's like you got to use Sunwell parts or Sunwell-esque parts, and yeah. So
yeah.
Make it easy to interchange the stuff, and it shows because they're selling out everywhere. And I think that's the Mad Catz probably kicking themselves right now. They're probably like, "Holy crap! If we actually had the supply to meet the demand when Street Fighter came out, we'd be making a killing right now.
No doubt.
If we actually made the rest of our accessories this high quality, we'd be making a killing right now.
Well, it depends on who you ask about the high quality, but it's certainly a step up from most other, you know, third-party peripherals, without a doubt.
That's true.
Definitely, true. Definitely.
Cool. That is all that I have to say. That's really what I wanted to get out there, is like add-ons and accessories and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
I want to see like next generation consoles. I want to see more shit like what Sony did with the hard drive. Let us do it ourselves. Please.
Yeah, true that.
Yes. I agree.
Cool. Wrap up, Jeff.
I still personally think that like 80% of them are a waste of space. Don't bother with them. But the ones that require you to get the best experience out of the game, definitely worth it, especially in the case of Rock Band, Guitar Hero. Just don't – they don't have to keep revisiting the same shit in a different shell every single year. I'm sick of that. And other than that, the fighting game sticks. Those are definitely worth it because there's many fighting games coming out, and there always will be. Just basically, if you're gonna buy like an accessory, make sure you're gonna use it more than the one game. And if you're not gonna use it more than one game, hopefully it's packaged in with that game at a discounted price. You're not paying like $100 for it.
That's a good idea.
Agreed.
That's it.
Jason, what do you think?
I think it's necessary to get the necessary ones for sure. Well, not necessarily, but because sometimes you don't really need that stuff. But yeah, as Jeff mentioned, you know, I think it's important to be able to have more than one use, you know, for whatever you buy. You know, on the flip side, not really the flip side, but also I like having options for stuff, you know. I like having a, you know, remote for my PS3 and my 360. So options are always a good thing. I don't have to buy those things. And it certainly provides a convenience in a lot of cases. You know, Mr. Goose mentioned the wireless stuff before. And now that's almost, standard, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Or it is standard now.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
And that was, you know, an innovation in accessories before.
Yeah, I can agree with you, yeah. So. Sorry, just to interject before I lose my little point here.
Do it.
Definitely agree with the whole, I like the idea of having the option to have a better kind of like remote or better kind of accessory to take advantage of a feature on a console. Mm-hmm. Don't do what Microsoft did with the original Xbox, and you have to buy that accessory to even open up that option in a console.
Yeah.
In regards to the DVD remote, which is freaking retarded.
That was gay.
Yeah.
That was all kinds of gay. Yeah, so don't force that kind of stuff. You know, don't make it proprietary, for real. That just pisses me off. Pisses consumers off, I think. And, aside from that, we've already bitched about, you know, all the different music game peripherals, and that's just getting way out of hand.
So out of hand.
Big
time.
I'm done with those. But I'm looking at my my slime controller from Dragon Quest VII, and
that you've never used?
That I've never used, and I probably never will, but damn if that thing does not make me happy. I love
just
that
just looking
thing.
At it makes sure it does. Just looks
it
cool.
It really, really does. I love that thing. And have you guys ever seen the Resident Evil 4 like chainsaw controller?
Yeah, I saw that thing. That thing was ugly.
It's awesome. But it's so cool.
It's so ugly, though. It's the ugly yellow with the blood shit everywhere.
You're ugly.
And you'd never actually use
shit.
It because it just wouldn't fucking work.
No, I get into the knickknacks, as someone mentioned before. But yeah, I'm kind of a collector of stuff. But yeah, I dig them. They're cool. It's my fault if it's a waste of space.
That's right.
All right, exactly.
Cool. Yeah, I pretty much said my piece, but you know, just in general, I think that like the Rock Band stuff is not a waste of space if you're sticking to one set. I think that and like the guy said, as long as you have an accessory that you're using for more than one game, or if it's for one game and you're playing the game a shit ton, you know, then it's cool.
Yeah.
I think that some of the accessories have gotten a little out of hand, and the additional peripherals for like the Wii and stuff like that has gotten out of hand. And it'd really be nice to see them cut back on that, it'd be nice to see some more reasonable prices on some of this stuff too.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the waves and waves of third party arcade sticks, which I think might actually happen. Not a whole bunch of them, but I'm starting to see at least one or two other third parties come out with arcade sticks soon to capitalize on Mad Catz being
Yeah, whatever. Man.
Insufficient.
You guys are right, though, man. If Mad Catz could actually keep up with the demand on that thing, they'd be making a fortune right now.
Yeah, instead of the people who bought their sticks, selling them on eBay, making a fortune.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. All right. Well, should we keep going? Let's move on to new releases.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it. What's
for
new?
For the
release
next week, we have Puzzle Kingdoms, which was which came out for the DS last week, I think. So now it's coming out for the Wii.
Hell yeah, it did.
Help Wanted, which I did not look up because it sounds retarded, and I'm not.
Is that
going
a sim?
Yes.
Given today's economy, I'm sorry.
And Pirates versus Ninja Dodgeball.
Joy.
Yeah, really. So that's the
that was,
Wii.
What's? Yeah, that was
it's a dodgeball game with pirates and ninjas.
It already came out, didn't it, on Xbox Live or something?
I
or is
think
this
so.
One that?
It might be a different one. It might be a different one. I don't think it's the same one.
We've spent entirely too much time talking about it. Move on.
We have. Okay, we're moving on. So for the DS, we have lots and lots of shit, and I'm not going to spend any time on any of this. My Farm Around the World. Magicians. Oh, I said that last week. Fuck you. I'm not saying you again. Girl Time. Fuck you. Mission Runway. Fuck you. Desktop Tower Defense. Fuck you.
What?
Well,
yo, someone's going to totally ream you for that, dude.
Dude, it's a tower defense game on the DS. Whatever. So you can get it for free.
That's
go
out
and get
match.
It for free on your
that's
PSA.
That's a good match. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Drama Queens, fuck you. History Great Empires, Rome.
Ooh, somebody like
sure,
Rome.
Whatever. Dreamer Shop Owner, fuck you. And Poochie Poochie Virus, which actually looks interesting, believe it or not. It's like... I don't even know. It's a puzzle game, but I think it has. I think this is the one that I saw or heard on a show one time, and they were talking about how you played like a doctor, and you went and you actually cured viruses and that were in people by playing this little puzzle game. So it's interesting.
I was gonna say, man, like out of all the games that you don't research every week, you go ahead and you research Poochie Poochie Virus something.
I know.
Interesting.
Kind of weird, huh?
Yep.
All right. So for 360.
Yeah,
Left 4 Dead Game of the Year Edition is coming out next week.
What's in that?
I think it comes with the DLC. Wait, DLC is free though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure what the difference is. It comes with...
I guess if they don't play online, but I don't know why you wouldn't play Left 4 Dead online. So.
Yeah, it just says that it includes the survival pack in it.
Hmm.
You know, maybe they're trying to promote it for people that... that don't have internet access. I don't know.
It's a new box.
I mean, what? Yeah, it's a new box. It's still $60, though. It's like, why? Sacred 2 comes out next week, Fallen Angel.
Ugh. Sorry.
we have a quite a Sacred 2 advocate over on GLF.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it BSV? No, he's
no,
he's
it's
been
not.
Banned.
It's
someone similar.
God, it's someone who fights in
Runelord?
BSV a lot. Yeah.
Runelord?
Yeah, Runelord is a big Sacred 2 advocate.
Oh. Yeah.
Battle Station Specific. Yay. Hooray. Then that's 360 for next week.
Awesome.
PS3 is getting Sacred 2. PS2 is getting Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner 2, which comes
cool.
in the cool little collector's pack with
yeah.
the I don't even know what to call him. The little
yeah, Silent was piloting
Personas?
Or not piloting.
Personas. Was it the Jack Brothers?
Hmm?
Let's just move on.
Okay.
All right.
I heard Jeff saying something about the Personas. That's why I was...
Well, I was going to... No, that was Jason. But I was going to say Silent Hiroshura was recommending me that. He's like, you like RPGs, mate? And I can't do a Scottish accent. I'm sorry. And I mean, obviously, mate. But he's like, you should... Yeah, Devil Summoner 2 or whatever. I was like, yeah,
oh, okay,
not
cool.
really my type of thing, but...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, all of the Shin Megami Tensei games are you know, very... They have a huge fan base.
Oh, God, so. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, for the PC next week is Left 4 Dead Game of the Year Edition. Age of Pirates 2 comes out next week. Battle Station Specific. Civilization 4, the Complete Edition, comes out next week. And Hinterland Orc Lords. I also want to push out a couple downloads because I actually tried to look some stuff up and I did find a couple. One of the ones that Jason and I have been actually paying attention to because because they're local, and you know, we appreciate that, and we want to support our local development studios. Killing 4 is coming out on Steam next week.
Yes.
And it looks very Left 4 Dead-ish, but it's got six players, up to six players.
Co-op.
Nice.
Co-op yeah, survival horror. So it's Left 4 Dead with a shitload of more weapons. Yeah. How about that?
Who makes this?
Tripwire Interactive. They're out of
Yeah, they're Atlanta. Local. Okay. They did the Red Orchestra games.
Yep.
The first-person shooters. The super technical first-person shooters.
Yeah. They were a hit on Steam and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. But Killing Floor looks really cool. It's like you actually get to level up and stuff, and you get to upgrade your weapons, and it looks good. Looks good.
I'm getting it.
I think I'm getting it too. So we'll hook them online.
Sweet.
For PSN PSN's getting Zen Pinball next Thursday. So that's something to look forward to if you guys are into the video pinball games.
And
that is your new release list.
Good shit.
Pick of the week.
My pick of the week is actually Beyond Good and Evil. And if you're interested in that, you can check it out at goodoldgames.com.
Oh, shit.
That was awesome. I was going to say, as funny as that is, with the release list next week, I might have to say the same thing. Because if you haven't played the game, the opportunity to play it for free, and it'll be new to you. You've never played it, so therefore it's a new release.
Good reason.
But if not, pick up Left 4 Dead because Left 4 Dead's fucking awesome.
If you haven't yet,
yeah.
Hop on the L4D.
And if you have picked up Left 4 Dead already and you're on Steam, I'm gonna say Killing Floor.
Fuck yeah!
Because it actually looked really good, and I'm not seeing anything in the release list that was worthy of my pick of the week this week besides that.
Yeah, so I'll say Killing Floor.
Yeah, cool. Good deal. Jason.
Yo.
Do we have any emails to read off?
Didn't I read them already? No, this is the regular email segment.
That's right.
Yes, this has nothing to do with Question of the Week stuff. Cool. This is fun stuff. First one is from Tyler. He's an Arsenal fan. I know that much. Do you guys know of somewhere in Canada to get a Street Fighter 4 arcade stick? You know, the cheaper one for the 360, like a Hori stick. Thanks.
Jeff?
In Canada. Yep. Well, Canada's pretty big.
No, it's not. It's not that big. Come on.
Depending on where in Canada you live, I don't know. Obviously, you're not going to find one in like a game, like an EB Games or like a Best Buy or Future Shop. Because even, like, I live in Toronto, which is one of the biggest populated cities in Canada, and those stores tend to never have arcade sticks. I tend to find arcade sticks in the independent stores. Go to the ones that... might be a little bit shady looking, or just the ones that aren't called EB Games, basically. Look up in your phone book or whatever, look on the internets, and just find a game store that is not a big name game store, because chances are they're going to bring in these products and hope to sell them. And most of the time, if you go into these places and just ask for one, they will order one for you because they appreciate your business that much more, instead of like going to be like, oh, you have an arcade stick? Well, can you order one for me? No, they'll come in eventually. Yeah, just check out an independent place.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Chances are they'll order one for you, whether it takes a little bit longer or not. That's fine, but they'll at least do it. Mm-hmm. That's how I got my first Hori stick, man. I couldn't find one anywhere. Went to my local store and said, hey, need an arcade stick. Are you guys getting the Hori ones? Like, well, we don't usually order them because they don't really sell too well. This is a long time ago. Like before Soul Calibur 4 came out. He's like, well, we can order one for you if you want. I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm like, it's going to cost extra. He's like, no, we'll just go order for it at regular price. I'm like, cool. And like a week later, I had it. So
nice.
Well, if you're looking for hard-to-find accessories, Play and Trade has this. No, actually, yeah, Play and Trade, I guess they'll actually get stuff from their other stores and stuff, so... That's a good idea, too. I don't know if you guys have Play and Trade up there, but no, Jeff brings up a good point about smaller shops, you know, especially if they're not online, because, I mean, that's how people search for stuff, really, for the most part. Yeah, that's how I do it.
But I'll agree with that.
In, like, smaller towns or something like that, there's probably a very good chance that there might be something. Who knows? But it's going to take some legwork. Good luck.
It is. You do have to do your research. You have to look around. You got to go to different places.
Well, you know what? Tyler is not done. He's got another question here. What are your guys' gamertag/PSN account names? Chris, would you like to start us out?
Yeah, I'll start us out. On PSN and Xbox Live, I am Shinobishi. That's S-H-I-N-O-B-I-S-H-I.
/ Sparkle.
/ fuck you, Jason.
Twinkle toes.
Jeff?
: jerk store.
I am Goffey, G-O-F-F-E-Y, on both Xbox Live and PSN. I will let you know right now that both of the lists are full, but if you put a message in there saying how you got, like, basically saying, hey, what up, this is so-and-so, listen to the show, or I'm from VGO, or from here, whatever, I'm from the moon, there's more of a chance I will add you.
Yeah.
Because as long as you put something in there, and it'll just add me, because I have a lot of people on my list that I have literally never played a game with, so...
Yeah,
make it more personable, so, like, I'll have more of a chance. Like, hey, let's play this game together, whatever, and I can actually start doing some, like, spring cleaning, because there's some people on there I haven't even seen online, like, forever. So I'm willing to remove the people from my list. Just mention something, like, hey, what up?
Yeah, send a little personal note, as it were. Flattery will get you everywhere. I had somebody tell me I was handsome today, and I'm just like, oh, okay, we're friends.
Oh, I'll add you.
No, mine is on PSN. It's Unistrike, UNASTRIKE, and on. Xbox, it's a little different. It's J-Strike. It's J-A-S-T-R-I-K-E. But if you guys do forget, if you check on Interactive Distractions and go to the About Us page, we've got our stuff listed there, too.
I should also mention also just what Jeff was saying. My PSN account is full.
Yeah,
and
too.
If people have seen my name disappear off their friends list, it's nothing personal. I'm just trying to... the people that I'm playing on Scrub Sport, I'm trying to get them on my friends list so it's easier to hook up with them. So if you guys see, you know, us take you off of our friends list, it's nothing personal. We're just trying to, you know, hook up with people from Scrub Sport. Probably. Unless we don't like you.
We're actually playing games with them.
Yeah, my live list is nowhere near full right now.
What's the cap on that one? I don't think I've...
I think it's 200, isn't it?
I have no idea.
No, I think it's 100 as well.
Really? Is it 100?
I think I have 100. There's no way I have 200. That's ridiculous.
Mm. Okay. Mm. Cool, but there you have it.
Mm. Well, you know what? Speaking of names online.
Speaking of names.
I've got another email here from...
speaking of people with hair.
I've got another email from a dude named... Mr. Goose, and his question is...
Mr. Goose, again.
Let's see.
Two and one.
Since I'm new to VG Evo, I was wondering if you could tell me your screen names. I want to know who is talking when I look up at the forums. Thanks again. Best friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, just kidding. You guys aren't my friends. No, wait. You are. Ugh.
No.
I got to shut up. Chris, let's start with you again.
Shino, S-H-I-N-O.
No BG?
No. I avoid the Bishi at all costs unless I have no other choice.
Is there a connotation?
And I'm thinking
with Bishi?
Of changing it to Shinomitsu because that's more along the lines of what I originally wanted it to be.
Oh, so you weren't going for the sparkly thing.
Yeah, you're always being Bishi to us.
Oh, I gotcha.
You're both jerks. Okay.
I love it. Jeff?
Goffey as well. G-O-F-F-E-Y.
There
we go. Keep it consistent.
All right.
And I actually saw him on the Shoutbox actually today for the first time when we were starting recording.
Hey, cool.
Talking about, I think they're talking about Killzone or StarCraft or something.
Yeah, because those are so similar.
Some popular
it was either Killzone or StarCraft. It's one of two. I don't remember what they were talking about. They're very similar games. They sound very alike.
you throw Killzone or Street Fighter out that is being talked about in the Shoutbox, chances are you're going to be right. StarCraft's the only kind of odd one out there.
Well, you can find me on VG Evo as Unistrike. Not that I post there an awful lot, but if you go to scrubsport.com, you'll see an awful lot of posts from me.
Yeah, you'll see me in the show box all the time, getting in trouble.
Yeah. Yelling at the marquee at Francois. Yes.
You know, speaking of the marquee, actually, he sent us a voicemail. Did you guys know that?
He did.
Sweet.
He sent us a voicemail last week, too, but we couldn't play it because it was more than 5 minutes. So... this week, Marquis sent us another voicemail, and it was under 5 minutes, so I'm very, very proud of him. However, he sent us a voicemail that was like, it had like five different topics or something like that. So what the fuck's up with that, dude?
Some of it was for questions of the week. 5 minutes longer?
Some of it was about something completely different. Then he had some more propaganda in it, but I can't
King of Fighters.
I can't put that in a show. Logically, you know, I can't put it into our question of the week segment when 75% of the voicemail is about something, topics completely different. So just take my word on it. He sent us a voicemail. I'm not going to play it, though.
Okay.
Because he knows better.
Well, what he could have done, though, if he was like thinking, he could have maybe sent the propaganda stuff to Scrubsport.
That's a good idea.
Because, I mean, at least it's some kind of related. Question of the week stuff here. And then maybe a separate one that's totally random, whatever, to the regular emails.
Yeah.
And the other two, wait for another show.
Exactly. So when you guys send us emails, trying to keep it, I mean, keep them short for once, keep them concise, and then also keep them on topic. You know, I mean, it's great to, you know, that we're getting voicemails. I love that. I really, 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 really do. But we still have a show to put on. And I know that we jump off on tangents an awful lot, but damn it, it doesn't mean that you have to. Do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah, you don't have to help us jump off off topic. We don't need that help.
Right.
Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I think
we love
well enough on our own.
I just don't.
I think Marky's just testing us, but. Speaking of random
Poking
stuff,
the bear.
Thanks for bringing that up. Actually,
no problem.
We have. Do you guys remember a little segment that we used to have? I think it was called
D-Rex.
No, that wasn't it. What the hell was it called? Chris, do you remember what it was?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And now it's time for another edition of
Random Questions from Aces High.
Yeah!
It is back.
Random Questions from Aces High.
It's back, bitches.
I know you were all wondering, because I teased
I'm excited.
It a little bit
I'm excited. Let's do this, baby. Let's do it.
All right, so we've got our random questions. Now, normally we'd be reading the questions right now, but you know what? We're going to one-up this. We actually have a voicemail from Aces.
Oh, here, man, here he's go. On top of things today.
He's
getting a welcome back.
A long-awaited random questions via voicemail from Skype, actually. I can't believe it's not butter. It tastes like butter.
It does. Is that a question?
Is grape really the best jelly for peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
That's a dumb
question. I was wanting to know if you remember, maybe in the early 90s, mid-90s, there was a soda. It was put out by Coke, and it was called Surge.
Yes.
I want to know if any of you have memories of that particular soda. Thanks for airing.
You are welcome.
Like
thank you.
You guys call it soda.
It's not pop. Pop is something that a
it's
balloon
pop.
Does.
Pop sounds
pop,
really,
whatever.
Really dumb. All right, so real quick, that
soda
great jelly
retarded,
thing. Yes.
Like baking soda.
Shut up.
Okay, well, let's go back. Butter, I can't believe it's not butter. It tastes like butter.
Yeah, kind of mostly.
I've never had it.
I've never had it either.
It's
I don't
my
use
margarine
butter that
of
often,
choice.
Anyway, so.
How about that?
It's okay. Your which, sorry?
It's my margarine of choice.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Sure.
So it's a margarine then. So it's basically like a...
Yeah.
I don't get the difference. With margarine, it's not definitely not healthier for you. Why would people go with margarine over butter?
Jeff, I don't know.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
I just don't use either, personally, but, you know.
Okay.
Not like butter's good.
All right, so grape jelly, the best on a PB&J, yeah?
Fuck no. Strawberry, 100%.
Dude, grape is totally the best.
You lose,
no, dude,
Chorney.
Strawberry. You're kidding me.
You
grape
lose.
Jelly. Oh.
Next question.
You guys are
grape
fired.
Is all there
fired.
Is.
Strawberry.
Good day, sir.
Strawberry.
All right, so the last question. Strawberry? Do we remember Surge? Chris, do you remember Surge?
I do remember Surge.
Oh, my God.
Surge was basically, Surge is what Vault is now.
Motherfucking
but
Vault.
It tasted
Zero.
A little bit different, but at least I think it did.
So, yeah,
but they're pretty much the same.
I used to dig Surge back in the day. It was short-lived, however, and in the past, has it been like a year or so?
Like for energy drinks and stuff?
Yeah, so they've got like Vault. It's, Vault and Vault Zero. Vault Zero is the sugar-free kind, and I am hooked
right.
on mm-hmm. that. I literally yeah, can go really. Through like a 12-pack in a day or two. So,
no joke.
So you're not working then.
Yeah. I love Vault Zero, and I think it's being phased out, and I'm really, yeah. really sad about that because it's not at our local gas stations anymore. It's even kind of hard to find at some of the grocery stores, and I've been thinking to myself for this past year, what the hell do I do if I don't have Vault Zero? I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with myself.
Yeah, I suggested Diet Mountain
Drink
Dew,
coffee.
But
no. No, no. Gives me gut rot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of sugar.
But yeah, I definitely do remember Surge. I actually had that was out about the time that I was in college and working at the video game store, and I just remember that the local little convenience store that was like right down like several stores from us, they carried it, and they carried it just because like me and one of my coworkers drank it, and just in the middle of the day one day he would just look at me and he'd be like Surge, and I'd be like all right, and he'd run down and get a Surge and bring it back, and that was a good time.
You remember the commercials at all?
No,
Chris, they were like two opposing factions, like armies of people, and they'd like run at each other shouting Surge.
I feel so Canadian right now.
Sorry, bud.
I don't remember that.
Freaking like, Canadians and their strawberry like? Jelly.
What did it taste like? Explain. Was it like Coke, but with like more caffeine, or was it like a totally different tasting drink?
It was because
the name sounds familiar.
It was citrus-esque.
But
yeah, it was citrusy. Yeah,
closest thing is Jolt like Cola, Mountain Dew, I guess.
Right. It's similar. It's along the same lines.
Hmm.
Vault Can't Zero is in a fucking black can. How badass is that?
That's pretty cool.
Oh, it's so cool.
I'm going to look for that tomorrow, actually, because maybe we do have it at 7, because I'm not a big energy drink guy anyway in the first place with, like, high caffeine, whatever, so I'm gonna take a look. Maybe we do have it, and I'm just fucking ignorant as hell. So, I don't maybe. Know. I haven't seen it. It can't exist. Kind of my mentality.
Surge!
Power thirst!
Oh. All right, so I'm looking around. I think that's it. That's all I got.
Oh, yeah?
That's it.
Yeah.
Use your submitted stuff.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't we pick our winner for the week?
Let's do it.
That's right. We got a contest.
We get to do that this week. That shit's awesome.
Cool. So you guys pick a number.
So,
need music.
As I said, we had 8 entries.
Yeah, we do need music.
That was pretty good considering the fact that we didn't have it on the show or anything. So what I am doing is I am going to, today, this time, I'm going to just go to random.org, which is just a random number generator.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to ask for a random number between 1 and 8. And the result is 3.
It's
going to
give me 6.
3. 3.
Oh, 3.
3. Who is number 3?
3.
Hold on. Where's my spreadsheet? Here it is. Brent Budden. I think that's how you say it.
Hey, Brent.
Budden. I believe he's new. He's from GOG.com.
Yep.
So,
cool.
Brent, I will be sending you an email with congratulations and your code for Beyond Good and Evil. So congratulations and thank you very much for emailing in.
Hell yeah.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? I'm sorry. It's all I can do short notice. There you go. There you go. Okay.
Peanut
Yay.
Butter strawberry jelly time. Peanut
that
butter
was, that was totally
time.
Random. All right. What's left? Question of the week. That's what we got, right?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Yep,
all right. So, guys, here's the deal. We we're going away for Memorial Day weekend, and
yeah.
And we don't want to think that hard for the next couple weeks.
Please no.
So we just want to have fun next week. We're gonna do a fun little show. We want to hear your stories about times when you've taken gaming too far. we should get some interesting shit out of this one. So
yeah,
question of the week: what give us an example of when you've taken gaming too far? All right, so you can send the answer to the question of the week to email at interactive distractions.
Takes a guy in a scrub sport match.
Nice.
Email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 818-528-GAME. It's 818-528-4263. You can leave us a message on Skype. That address is Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase, but it's case insensitive.
What?
Nothing, move
You're
on.
Not giving in to that, are you?
Oh, Jason. There was a... when I was on the goo this week, there was a
Scott.
Point where, yeah,
get
where Scott
factual, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, he started saying all lowercase with his. He started saying all one word with his gamers only older for his Skype name.
Yeah.
So when he did that, I said all lowercase. I was like,
nice.
Oh wait, that's not my job.
Awesome.
Good shit. Yeah, it was fun. Where was I? Google Talk. interactivedistractions@gmail.com. We are also on Twitter as InDisPodcast. You can see find us on Facebook too, Interactive Distractions Podcast Group. And by the way, we're on Steam too. We have a group on Steam, Interactive Distractions.
Oh, that's true.
And you can find us individually on Twitter as IndisChris, IndisJason, and IndisJeff.
That's right. So look us up. We are around.
Look us and, when we're pooping.
And IndisJeff is like the weird Jeff spelling. It's like G-E-O-F-F.
Yeah, it's G-E-O-F-F. Sorry, I should probably get that straight. Yeah,
something like that.
I had so many problems with that this week. It's retarded. I called my cable company, and they're like, Jeff, Jorn, okay, yeah. They're looking forever, and they're like, wait a second, we have a Joff. I'm like, that's Joff. It's G-F. Are you fucking retarded? It's whatever. That's me. Anyway.
That's awesome.
Bitter.
All right, guys. We have anything else before we wrap up?
ScrubSport.com. No, nothing.
Okay. ScrubSport.com.
ScrubSport.com. What? GOG.com. All those good places. Check them out.
All those good places. Check out Chris on the Goo.
Yes, check me out on the Goo, episode 28. It was released yesterday. You can find that at VGEvo.com or GamersOnlyOlder.com.
Right, and we're going to be starting a petition. Actually, we'll need you people to bail Jeff out of trouble next week, I think.
Yeah.
To get him reinstated.
Oh.
If you love Jeff, just be prepared to sign something.
That's right. Let's hope it doesn't
come
to that.
We'll see what happens.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, tell a few friends about us.
I
would very much appreciate it. You guys help us a lot with telling people. Word of mouth is the best way to spread information. So you can do that. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We would appreciate that as well.
Cool.
So thanks for listening.
Welcome.
Hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Word.